Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wait.
I got a little bit. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Turn that radio down. How many times, how many years have you been listening?
Oh, about 6 months. Oh, wait. Let me, oh, well.
If you don't turn it down, I'm going to the next call. But anyway, what is your comment?
I just want to talk about the position in the White House staff that's above Condoleezza Rice that you were mentioning.
Right. I couldn't think of the name, and it was coming off the top of my head, but it was newly created under this administration.
Yes. His name is Don Geronimo, and he's the he's above the National Security Advisor. So he's the go-between. And his claim to fame is that he has big, hairy balls, actually, and he tickles Mike O'Mara's taint on occasion.
Well, let me tell you that. Since you know all that, maybe that's where you should stick. And I think I've heard your voice before, and that's how you smell.
How often do you fart?
And as you see, people get ignorant by the call.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most pop. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no. Right now outside our studio.
Here they are.
They're having a big pro-Rush Limbaugh rally.
Jesus,
yeah, there they
Jesus,
are.
Jesus,
oh, with all their
Jesus,
Rush signs.
Jesus.
And look, next to it, 4,000 pills.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob, beware.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Potts, Holster, and all the ships at sea. Here they are, ready to lick the pool cue. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, you started it today. You started it. Hi, everybody. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Thursday. October 2.
Right.
We're broadcasting on Westwood 1. And our toll-free number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. If you're listening in Canada, you can call 800-636-1067. Yeah, that was Rob screaming about that. And Washington, 202-432-1067. Howdy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Oh, hi there.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up.
Did you wash the ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
We're in goofy moods today. I can tell you that already. Yeah.
We just had a good time cutting a commercial.
We haven't had that much fun cutting a commercial in a long time.
For a great sponsor.
Cool.
Fine sponsor.
And I was curious about the copy.
Uh-huh. It was just, and we both saw this particular word at the same time.
There's
and
a woman's
lost
name.
It.
A woman's name that looked, when you, and you know, this is the
man's
problem.
Man's name.
Yeah, well, but it was a woman's name, though.
It was the name on a woman.
Yeah, it was her, it was the woman's last name. It was Jane Hyman.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Jane Hyman, and the other guy was...
It was Jamie.
Well, either way, it was a woman, though, right? Is it?
It was... Jamie could go either way, I guess.
Did a woman...
Copy?
I think I just crumpled it.
I believe it was a woman.
Was it was Jamie? Jamie could be a woman. I know what
that
means.
Another reason, I thought it sounded like woman, Hyman.
Yeah, it's Jamie. I'm guessing it is a chick, because the other guy's definitely a man, Adam.
Jamie Hyman.
Jamie
Hyman.
So we saw it at the same time. I don't know what it was.
We don't read the, and this will be a shock to some of you advertisers out there that pay for these recorded commercials. Mm-hmm. We don't pre-read.
What?
You give us the copy and we read it.
You must.
So it gets down to, it's my turn, you know, because they write them in little paragraphs for us. Mm-hmm. And we get down to this part and write, you know, because we've not read it in advance. I'm just going, blah, 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 blah. See great people like Jamie. I just started laughing because
we laughed simultaneously, and then you just couldn't get by. And then
it looked like Hyman. It really looked like a Hyman. It smelled like a Hyman.
It should have been Hyman, and we wanted it to be Hyman, and we thought it should. And when you start doing that, you're not able to do the rest of the commercial.
No. You can't focus. So hi everybody, and welcome to the show. First order of business here. Rush Limbaugh, yeah, we're going to be on this today.
Good.
We're going to be on this today. But Channel 9, just want to say to Channel 9, love you, Channel 9. You're a great channel. You're right up there with 7 and 5 and 4.
All of them.
You're close to 11. You're close to 13.
And 20.
20's a cousin.
Captain 20.
The family is 2 through 13. That's right. Your basic TV family.
Yeah.
If you got a 2 through a 13, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Even in this modern day of satellites and cable. Anyway, Channel 9 called because they need someone to talk about Rush Limbaugh on their news show today.
Yes.
And we turned him down.
Really?
Yeah. We're not that desperate to get on TV.
No, and it's we were discussing that before the show. It's really standard practice, you know, that...
You know what it is? It's honor among thieves.
Makes sense.
As much as we're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh... And the pills and, mm-hmm. and the ESPN thing. And
I understand the pills rapidly becoming the bigger of the two stories.
Oh, yeah. Either way, I sure don't want to be the guy on TV putting the knife in Rush Limbaugh's back.
No.
You know, I don't want to be the local disc jockey who said Rush Limbaugh. No, I said yesterday, and we'll probably debate this point today, I don't think he should have been fired. But that's just my opinion. I stand by that. I think he got himself fired by doing his radio show yesterday.
Yeah, you were telling me this, and I didn't know this, that apparently after this incident, instead of just shutting up about it and just being cool about it, he went on just being all sanctimonious, being his pompous ass self.
Quote, I must have been right about something, end quote.
Yeah, and my only point with this whole thing, and I'm not gonna be drug into this thing, get it? Drug in? Uh-huh. There's 4,000 pills. I don't want to jump on anybody's back. We didn't do it to Grease Man. We didn't do it with Opie and Skateboard.
Well, we talked about it on our show, but to come on TV,
that's different.
You know, it's a different thing. And it really is, it's opportunistic and
very classic not to do that.
Now, if he had died, we're right there.
Sure.
We're right there.
Yeah, because that's not really stabbing him in the back to talk about him. And the funny thing is, they bring, and here's what the scenario would be. They'd bring their camera crew down here after he died, expecting us to, say some nice things, and then we'd say crap about
everything
right.
we ever wanted to say. Rush Limbaugh, God, where do you begin with this guy? No. Okay, so he's fired from ESPN.
Yeah, and incidentally, and shall we enlighten everyone? Resign.
No, that means fired.
It means he got canned.
That means we're gonna do this, and trust me, I've been through this with plenty of broadcast places. I'm sure you have too. Everybody has.
Sure.
You're fired, but we can all pretend that you just quit.
Yeah, I mean, they do that when you get to a certain level, and obviously they do that when they want to, you know, he's still an ABC guy, right?
Yeah.
So they want to. You know, they want his ratings on his radio show, so they make sure that he saves a little face. But make no mistake, he resigns, they accept it.
Yeah.
He's canned.
Right.
Right.
And now ESPN is coming on, watching SportsCenter today. ESPN is doing a thing where they're investigating what happened, where they're playing the soundbite. So, I mean, this is why I'm not going to jump into this, because whether he should have been fired or should not have been fired, all of these people now are just piling on and piling on. So ESPN's piling on so that they get mentioned in all of this. I don't want to be our show to be a part of that unless you're listening to us talk about it.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, you were saying we were going to debate. You might be surprised that I agree with you that he shouldn't be fired. But at the same time, I really strongly disagree with his premise about football, because I think coaches play the best player. I mean, especially a quarterback. I don't think it has anything to do with any outside influence and nothing to do with him. I know it was a stupid statement to make.
There are two important things here. First, they hired him. God, I hate to defend him, but it's true. They hired him because of his crazy opinions.
Right.
Because he's a crazy Republican. Oh, my God. Did you hear what Rush Limbaugh said? That's why they hired him.
Yeah, well, I think you said at the beginning when they hired him it was a stupid move anyway.
But they hired him so he would say stupid stuff, so that he'd get noticed. So he's doing his job.
Right.
And number two, to anybody who thinks that they know anything about football, if you take the skin color out of it, he's dead wrong, no matter how you look at it, about the player, Donovan McNabb.
Right.
Because Donovan McNabb has been to the championship game, what, 2 years in a row? Right.
And that, I think, is when he comes in, he thought about what he's... I mean, well, he doesn't know a hell of a lot about football.
So if I'm running ESPN, I call him in and I say, you know, you really are a big fat idiot.
Right.
You know, you call him in behind closed doors, you go, boy, you're a dope. And then I'm sure he would say something like, oh, I'm just trying to be the controversial person you hired me to be.
Right.
That, I mean, that's how you do it. You don't fire the guy. And nobody assaulted him on the fact that from a football standpoint, he was wrong. He's on a football show.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The football from the comment about football, for anybody that even has a... Here's the thing. If anybody has just a slight working knowledge of football, he was stupid. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Now, all of that aside, and the fact that ESPN is now climbing on this, and all of those dopes that are on that show with him, they're all making... Chris Berman is quoted on the front page of the New York Times making a statement about this.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't really give a crap that Rush Limbaugh got fired from ESPN if it didn't happen on the exact same day as his face is on the cover of the National Enquirer,
right, yeah,
with a story of Elvis-like proportions.
Apparently,
no kidding.
Unbelievable quantity.
Now,
of
he's a big man.
Now, Your Honor, on honoress, listening now as I swear in for my testimony, I would like to
Did you see it in the back?
See what?
The subpoena. The subpoena that Joe Ardinger got?
I would not have heard about this product if not brought to my attention by one Buzz Burbank.
Yes.
When I read the account, I said, I've heard of that.
I always have trouble pronouncing it.
Oxycontin. Oxycontin.
It's C-O-N-T-I-N.
Right. Contin. Oxycontin.
Oxycontin.
Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what is...
It's just dreamy, Don.
What is it?
Well, according to the pocket reference guide I keep in my hip pocket, Oxycontin is a time-release drug for severe pain. Its nickname is hillbilly heroin because it's very popular in rural areas for whatever reason. Its side effects include drowsiness, dizziness, perspiration, muscle spasms, and a decreased sex drive. An overdose can be fatal.
Marla, what's his wife's name? Marla or Marcia?
Marta,
look!
Marta, I'd like you to go down to the black market, pick me up several buckets of OxyContin, and give them to me in suppository form.
Here now is resident Don and Mike medical expert, Dr. Joseph Ardinger.
How many pills were involved?
Buzz, the total number of pills? Can we get a tote board on this? Can we have a tote, please?
I've heard, the account I read said thousands. I've also heard 4,000 pills.
4,000?
4,000?
Ladies and gentlemen.
The big man, Mike.
You've been sending your pills from all over America.
Thank you.
And we're now happy to say that our total Rush Limbaugh pills, as far as Buzz knows, is
4,000 pills.
There you go. Take a look at that, huh? 4,000.
There it is on the big board.
Aren't they marvelous? Look like little M&Ms up there. They're wild. All right, Joe, what can you tell us about this?
It should be noted that OxyContin is a time-release drug, but if you crush them under your molar, I've been told, you'll destroy the time release and they'll hit you within about 8 minutes.
Well, yeah.
Works with Viagra.
It's a good thing that you're so well versed on such a limited variety of topics, Joe. Thank you.
we got real experts.
It works with a lot of pills.
These guys should be called by CNN.
All right, Buzz, what would you like to... What would you like to say in response to what Dr. Ardinger had to say, or would you like to agree with his summation?
I agree with and support everything Dr. Ardinger said.
He's absolutely on the money.
So
on your painkiller scale, where would OxyContin fall? It's way up there. It's one of the most stolen drugs in pharmacy break-ins and armed robberies in the United States. That's the one people ask for. And again, a reminder, hillbilly heroin.
And it's his housekeeper, right? His maid?
She was the supplier, yeah, for 4 years, she says.
Jesus. For 4 years, so that's 1,000 pills a year.
And his wife, Marta, really didn't know.
Rationed them.
Right, right. Is this post-fabricated hearing loss? Some of this occurred before, and some of it occurred after the hearing loss.
See, because that adds another dimension to that.
Hold on. And I've heard both sides of this already today with some of my radio buddies.
Right.
Because, you know, we do gossip about this. You know, of course we do. One of the discussions was, it's possible that he got addicted on whatever this is, when he had his hearing loss.
Started before. He asked for more because of the ear pain,
And we go, and now I go to Dr. Buzz with what one of my disc jockey friends, John, said to me. He said, no, I happen to know something about this thing, and if you take enough of this, it will make you go deaf. One of the side effects is, if you take enough of this junk,
we got to get an expert on
you will go deaf.
That I don't know, but it does make sense, because an excess of any of these drugs, and there were three of them, by the way. I have information on the other two, if you're interested.
All right, go ahead, Buzz.
Yeah, in sufficient quantities, you could do enough brain damage to affect your hearing, I would think. The two other drugs were hydrocodone and Lorset.
What are those?
Hydrocodone is a painkiller like morphine used to fight coughs.
Hold on, here's Joe again.
Joe.
Yes, Joe.
Hydrocodone is Vicodin, and Lorset is a 15-milligram version of Vicodin.
Right.
I have heard the reports of Vicodin and OxyContin making you deaf, and I did remember a rumor his hearing that he was addicted to the drug.
I defer to that, then.
Don, anything else?
You know, when we are in Joe's wheelhouse, he is absolutely unstoppable.
Joe, check me out on this. Side effects of hydrocodone or Vicodin, as you mentioned, include anxiety, poor mental performance, emotional dependence, drowsiness, mood changes, difficult breathing, and itchiness. And the Lorset, which is, as you mentioned, a softer dosage, a combination of hydrocodone and Tylenol, hydrocodone,
this
rather.
This is a show for medheads right now.
And Tylenol.
If you're really into your meds, Buzz and Joe have taken the show over.
That's for
I'm a little concerned.
It's for moderate to severe pain. Side effects include dry mouth, nausea, vomiting, decreased appetite, dizziness, fatigue, muscle spasms, perspiration, and itching.
Don, I need...
Don't forget...
these two guys, they're in their way.
Patient.
Joe.
And the ability to stare at a wall for 4.5 hours.
I defer to Joe on that
Thanks,
point.
Joe.
Don, I need the press conference microphone for one brief statement, please.
members of the press, three and two, and Mike, you're on.
Very brief, Don. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as many of you may know that listen to this show, a while back our hearing was tested on the program, and I have the worst hearing loss of any member of the show, and I feel it necessary at this time to say that I have never and will not be addicted to prescription medication. Thank you. That's all I have to say. I won't be entertaining any questions. Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you getting quite the ovation?
I didn't expect that. They love me. They really love me. thank you. Good night.
And before everybody leaves, on behalf of the other members of the staff, if any of you out listening to our news conference tonight happens to buzz, what's the name of it again?
Hydrocodone? Vicodin?
If you got me, pass in front. Thank you. Thank you. I think we need to find out what this is all about.
It's two press conferences in 1 week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Get out of here.
No pictures.
Get out of here.
Please knock it off. So that's a wacky spin on this Rush Limbaugh thing. And then today,
as far as he's concerned, probably the worst timing in the world.
He did not do his radio show today because he was in Philadelphia making a speech.
Where he didn't say anything about any of this, right?
He did.
What I heard. I heard that when he was doing it.
Tape of Rush Limbaugh at the National Association. It's not Jethro. It's not.
I know it's not.
I swear it's
not. I know what it is. You started.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night. And
Rush Limbaugh.
I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it. If we give it up, just please forgive us.
Please forgive us. Here's Rush Limbaugh. No, Buzz, he did speak today at the NAB, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And did he say anything about...
I'm looking for those comments now, but what I can tell you is that he issued a statement after his address to the NAB in which he said, I'm unaware of any investigation by authorities involving me. No governmental representative has contacted me directly or indirectly. The statement goes on to say he'll cooperate fully with any investigation that might exist.
You know, let me tell you something about this guy. Whether you like him politically or you don't like him, that's not relevant. But the fact is, when you do that kind of a radio show, you got an ability to mold the truth into any little form you want to. And I just think that's absolutely untrue. He's got to know that there's something going on. You know, yeah. I have not been contacted by any member of the authorities. Come on.
But I would like to say that while it is a tough blow to take, it does take the pressure off the Donovan McNabb remarks. The pills made me say what I said. And ladies and gentlemen,
hey, there's an out.
Buy my T-shirts. Go to Rush.com.
I don't know.
You know, I'm thinking about the drug thing. That's not going to hurt him in the long run.
Listen.
Probably not.
I've been through it, not with 4,000 pills, but I've been through it. You know what you do? This is what everybody does. You know, if you have a TV show or a radio show or you just have a job, you F up and you say to your friends and you say to your family, I'm really sorry, it won't happen again.
He might not be that kind of animal, and he might actually wait till the very... It's going to happen eventually because somebody's going to tell him he has to. There's no way around it. But I think, in his case, just the way he behaves and the way he's behaved so far, he is... He believes his own press so much that he's probably going to wait to the absolute last. And if he does that, he could... Don't you agree the sooner you come out and...
I would be walking, talking proof of that.
But I remember, I was there for your thought process with that, and the fact is...
And just so you know...
It's the best way to handle
it. I had a couple of joints. I didn't have 4,000 pills.
Right.
I mean, make your own judgment.
You know? But you come out, you're right. You do it. History shows that that's the way you do it.
Mike, I will do the speech of Rob.
Yes.
No, you came up here. What?
Yeah, I would think from what you see of Limbaugh when he's interviewed and the way he handles himself, he probably still thinks the public will think what he tells them to think. Yeah. If he doesn't want to apologize, he probably won't because he can control it in his, you know, whatever his spin zone is on his show.
Right. Exactly.
So I agree with you. I don't think he is going to apologize.
I must have popped something right.
And you think with that drug, I was thinking about that drug. Do you think that he does all those speaking engagements? And it's no secret that when we used to do our live shows, even those silly little shows we do, we'd knock one back before we go on stage.
We would knock two back sometimes.
Sometimes two doubles.
Legal alcohol.
Sometimes two.
Legal alcohol, yeah. Right. But I mean, do you
that
think...
That demon, Sam Buka.
Oh, that was horrible.
He got the most of us are demons.
He twisted us. And the thing is, I'm wondering whether that was the reason...
Ladies and gentlemen.
That he did that. Hmm.
The oxymoron.
Oxycontin.
Oxycontin. My hemorrhoidal tissues.
These burning, itching hemorrhoidal tissue. Ladies and gentlemen,
I urge you to look at the reason.
I will now present to the camera my rectal area. Look at that inflammation. Those bubbles are mounds of excruciating pain.
Each one of those tree stumps with blood coming out of them equals, ladies and gentlemen, approximately 150 oxytocin pills.
Oxycontin.
Do the math.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
That would be 50. Is it 100 pills? Yes, 200 pills. To treat my hemorrhoidal tissue.
Per mushroom. coming out of my buttocks.
The weakened tissue, the veins, are excruciatingly painful. And that is why I have chosen to eat 100 pills per roid.
You'll notice, but the inside of my bad place resembles flesh-colored broccoli.
Yes.
Would you take pills, ladies and gentlemen? Would you?
Thank you. Get a good look. These two mounds of angry flesh are the source of my agony.
I'm addicted to two things, ladies and gentlemen. Rush Limbaugh, the VIB, Oxycontin.
Oxycontin.
Oxycontin and bleach. Bleach for my underpants.
That is correct. Each day, ladies and gentlemen, in my shorts is a symphony of color. And it's not pretty. And that is why I've become so totally dependent, ladies and gentlemen, on Oxycontin. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, the easiest way for guys like us not to do this is just for him to either say, this is untrue about me,
right.
Or, hey, all right, I got some issues, I'm going to deal with them.
You know, it's,
that's how you handle it.
Hey, and the bottom line, it's right up there with the televangelists. When you come from a place where you think you're better than everybody else, when you're preaching to everybody else the way they're supposed to live.
My burning rectal tissue.
Then they bring you down.
Force me. Ladies and gentlemen, at one point I called my good friend Joe Ardinger, a well-known right-wing good man in Northern Virginia, and he said, grind the tablets into your hemorrhoidal tissue.
As a matter of fact, on the phone with Joe, he suggested an old Joe trick, which is to find a very nice fresh chapstick, melt it down over the stove, mix the hydrocodone in with it, and turn it into a salve that would then be applied to the fingers, then gently massaged into the hemorrhoidal tissue.
And what's great is later during the day, of course, my fingers are glazed. So if ever I need a pop during my radio show, I lick my fingers and get my Oxycontin hydrocodone.
Hydrocodone in a salve form to be applied directly to the angry rectal tissue.
And that's why I've got it on my fingers. Who's on this on 444?
I don't know.
That could not be.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Hello?
Rush?
Is this Joe Ardinger?
Hey, Joe.
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, they make Vicodin suppositories as well.
No need to go to the local CVS drugstore and buy chapstick to turn it into I can immediately put it into hemorrhoidal tissue suppositories in bullet form.
And they come in tux pads, too.
Delightful.
Am I in heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh for Oxycontin Tux.
The pain, the agony, for me, Rush Limbaugh.
I'd like to offer the first container of Oxycontin Tux to Donovan McNabb
of the Philadelphia Eagles. Perhaps I can put to bed both of these controversies, ladies and gentlemen, which I think will probably calm everyone down. That's right, a fabulous box of hydrocodone suppositories
to you
for the fabulous Philadelphia Eagle quarterback.
Thanks, Joe.
And a coffee mug.
And a coffee mug from EIB.
Joe. Goodbye, Joe. Phil is freaking out of control on this topic, isn't he?
He gets excited. He really gets
rightly
excited.
So. Really in his wheelhouse. Now all we got is calls from people saying that they're addicted to this stuff.
Really? Well, it's highly addictive.
Mm-hmm. I take them. I just picked up my script. There we go. Let's start with Dave, addicted to the Rush Limbaugh pills.
Yeah, this is Dave. Now, I used to be addicted to them when I was just after high school. I used to like to do a lot of the heroin. And after I got out of high school, I found the lower sets. And then right after that, right into the oxys. And all you got to do is just, if you crush them up like you guys were talking about, it's just like heroin.
As Joe was talking about.
My fault.
The only frame of reference I have is when I was in the hospital and I took that liquid Demerol. Is that the same kind of feeling?
You just kind of
drift away.
Yeah.
You remain conscious, though. If you took a bunch of them, though, how do you function?
That's the point. You take a whole bunch so you don't function. You take a whole bunch so you sit there nodding out, falling asleep, and scratching, just hide up. The more you take them, the more you want to take because you put up a tolerance.
Remember, I told you I got addicted, or at least nearly addicted, after my surgery because every time I would stop taking them, I would get this all-over body ache flu-like thing.
Right.
Yeah, and my doctor had a cure for it. He said, you know, take fistfuls of ibuprofen until you get past that. And that'll address the achiness, you know, from the Jones that you're having. And
yeah, it's the opiates.
And then you're well again. You can stop because you don't get hooked on ibuprofen.
And that is why Buzz Burbank has approximately 16 holes in his stomach.
Right.
All right, so you were addicted to these pills.
Yeah, I used to take them, and just like you wake up in the morning and you got right. backaches and
right.
fever.
Yep. How many do you believe Rush Limbaugh is taking? Ladies and gentlemen, we have an expert on the line with us. How many pills do you believe Rush? Do you believe he's taking 4,000 of them?
Over 4 years?
Over 4 years, 4,000, that's kind of a lot, but it's believable. It's definitely believable.
Well, you heard it from the expert. That's kind of a lot, but it's believable.
Thank you for calling. Alan Linewong.
Fuck you. Thank you.
I love your show, guys. You're great.
Thank you. Is this Sean Hannity? Sean. Hello, here is Jim, who just picked up his script. Jim. Now, either he just picked up his script to join our merry troop.
Right,
or
he's all scripted, incidentally.
He's getting some meds. Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Are you getting the Rush Limbaugh pills?
Yeah, I've been on them for 2.5 years.
Wow. But now a doctor, you're under a doctor's care.
Yes.
And so you're suffering from a lot of pain.
Yeah, I have a nerve disease, and it causes a lot of pain. So I take the Oxycontin, and I also take Percocet. I also take Percocet.
How are your hemorrhoids?
Oh, they're fine.
They're fine. Enough.
No, actually, it's not. Some people get the side effects. Some people don't. I really don't get any, but last week I got really sick. I got the flu, so I couldn't take the pills, and I ended up going into the hospital because of withdrawals from them.
Right. Wow. Right.
Do you now feel somehow that you're in the spotlight because Rush Limbaugh takes the same thing you take?
No, because I can't stand him.
Lots of people take Vicodin.
That's incredible.
Millions of people.
It's dangerous stuff, right?
But as far as the number that he took, I could believe that he took 4,000 in 4 years. I mean, I take a hundred and something a month.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. See,
you know,
wow.
I think Jordan wants your autograph.
Yeah.
Well, let's do the math. 4,000 pills, Rob. You figure that's 4 years. That's 365 times four.
1,000 a year.
That's roughly three a day, right?
Yeah, roughly.
You took three a day. Yeah. Three times 365 is
way to go, human calculator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, entirely possible. Ladies and gentlemen,
I mean, I take as far as the Percocet, I take three of those a day, and the Oxycontin, I take two of those a day, so that's five a day.
Yeah, and we should point out that you don't get high off this stuff if you have real pain. If you have real pain, the drug goes to addressing the pain. It doesn't make you high.
And what good is it, Buzz?
If you have no pain and you take the drug, then you get high.
Ah. But what good? Oh, I see.
Well, it's good as a painkiller for people like this guy who's in a lot of pain.
Marla! Marla!
Marta!
Apply, please!
Please, the hydrocodone suppository. Insert it in me. Put it in me, please.
He hid them from her.
Break one open!
That's the great thing about a hydrocodone suppository. You can hide it and take it at the same time.
But now that you're here and you see, break one open!
Please.
And squirt it on me like suntan lotion at the beach.
Marta, peel back the foil and put it under my tongue.
Now I'm laying here on my stomach. That's right. Break the capsules and rub them into my shoulders. Yes.
Hydrocodone suppositories in sour cream and onion, creamy ranch, and new fajita.
With SPF 10. EIB.
The EIB high. I'm so high.
Okay, I think that's it. We're about out on that.
Wow.
No Buzz was going to have that during the news.
There'll be more. I've got more and different stuff later, so stick around.
There is more. So how great is that? Or how not great is that? But anyway, we'll do it here, but we won't do it for Channel 9.
This is where we talk.
If they sent Mike Buchanan out to a car where he just did the report and said, here's what Don and Mike had to say, and then just put the microphone down by the radio.
Right. Cool.
That would be, now, they're right there, I'm just giving you the segment, Channel 9.
Right.
That's what you do.
Well, now they've missed it.
And incidentally, Channel 9 and all the news outlets, including the newspapers, we are always available for the glorified profile.
you
can profile us anytime you wish.
Nah. So yeah, this was the thing that we had to decide when they called. Oh, gee, we have ratings. We want people to listen. It's like a free commercial if you get on TV, assuming anybody actually watches the news, that it doesn't get beaten in the ratings by The Simpsons. Well, okay, we'll be a whore. We'll go on TV. But are we going to whore ourselves out so that we're a 5-second snippet in the middle of a story about right. this other guy, and that we're just kind of piling on.
No. Well, and also, here's another thing.
We can pile on right here.
When someone steps on it, as Rush has done, they bring other radio performers into the fold, and you know, we are all, in a way, vilified, and I don't think that's a good spot to be in, and we say, a no to you, sir. No. No.
I say bravo.
Bravo to you, no.
And Rob, my nurse, Rob Spivak,
yeah.
I need 20 OxyContin pills and 20 hydrocodone suppositories.
Per your instructions, Rush, I've made them into a sorbet.
Fantastic, and it's maple flavored.
And I'd like mine with ice cream and 24 cookies. Energy surges through my body, ladies and gentlemen.
Na-ma, na-ma, na-ma. Well, good luck to him.
Yeah.
That's how we ended.
That's right.
Well, good luck to him. Keep your chin up, partner. Okay. Let's move on to another story. Making news here on the Don and Mike World headquarters thing. Yeah. We mentioned this yesterday. We got the tape. I want to get to this briefly, and then we move on with the show. Incredibly poor taste that ABC is showing by running this John Ritter show and right. having him do the promos and all this other stuff. Well, somebody called in yesterday and said, you're not going to believe it, the dead John Ritter is on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So we taped Hollywood Squares today.
This is the new one.
This is the brand new one. And you're going to see, because John Ritter is not there to you know, I mean, they're running tapes from when he was alive. Henry Winkler comes on to give a brief introduction. And I just have to describe.
Henry Winkler gives a brief introduction of Squares?
Of why John would want this to run.
Oh,
and he's standing in front of a giant empty square that has the name John Ritter on it.
Oh, God.
And it's done with Vaseline on the lens. So anyway, here's the beginning to Hollywood Squares.
A few weeks ago, we lost a very dear member of our family. John Ritter was not only one of the most talented people I ever met, he was also one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
The shows that you're going to be watching this week were shot just a short time before John's untimely passing. We thought we would share them with you so that we could together celebrate not only his life, but also what he loved doing the most.
What's that?
Making us laugh.
Ah. I'm sure that's how the late John Ritter really wants to be remembered.
You know,
I'm sure that was it. That was in his will and testament. Whatever you do, run my Hollywood Squares appearance.
Boy, Henry Winkler has been getting more TV time on the death of John Ritter than any human being on the planet.
And if you had one thing that John Ritter liked to do even more than make people laugh, that's make an easy production schedule for executive producer Henry Winkler, who is the executive producer
of Hollywood Squares.
Oh, wow. Well,
they were in the can.
Don't bother to reshoot. Make it a memorial.
Right.
So, they start up with black screen. They fade up to that. And it goes immediately from that to this. No, we got to run them back to back. Put it on continuous, and just fast forward to the end of the of his opening. So, because we tape this in real time,
mm-hmm.
where it's done, then the screen goes black for a second, and then it's like, okay, that's plenty of time to remember him. On to the show. Here we go.
Celebrate not only his life, but also what he loved doing the most, making us laugh.
And
5 seconds.
That's unedited.
Wow.
It's Hollywood Square.
It's weird. It's weird.
John Ritter. Charo.
And now when they do this thing starring John Ritter, of course, the camera's on. I mean, he's mugging for the camera.
Mugging, right.
Hi.
You know.
I'm dead.
And just a superstar lineup.
Jack Hanna. Lenny Clark.
Who's Lenny Clark?
Who's Lenny Clark?
Lonnie Love.
A Star Search finalist?
Center Square, Martin Mull!
What the hell are, why aren't we asked to be out there?
Really?
Okay, I've always wanted to be in a square with you, Don. I've always wanted to be side by side. Those are always the ones that crack me. Haven't they had like 4 people in the square?
Yes. Yeah, and I hope when we finally get our square, we can decorate our square.
Oh, absolutely.
The way the cool stars do.
Yeah, big time.
Stars. Stars.
It used to be
the runner-up from some reality. Is that what they said? Yeah. On that thing? Mm-hmm. And the runner-up from something?
Mm-hmm.
From Star Search.
I was watching one they had, like, in the old days, they had big stars on there.
Yes, they did.
Jennifer?
John Ritter, please.
John Ritter from Eight Simple Rules for Dating Mike.
You know what? Hold on. Give me the special music, please. Because we have to play our music with this to show them how just incredibly bad this is. Here you go. How you like this? Try this one on.
Jennifer?
John Ritter, please.
John Ritter from Eight Simple Rules for Dating Mike. True or false, John, a Beverly Hills magazine reports that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston like to eat their Sunday dinner naked.
Oh! That's true, but the weird thing is they do it at Sizzler. Ow!
Oh, God.
Beverly Hills magazine?
Yes.
Well, I'd have to say that's true.
I disagree.
It is true, yes. X gets the square.
Oh.
We're half right.
Okay.
Jeez. Oh, you know what?
It's morose, isn't it?
But it's, you know, it's so weird. But
you want to hear one more?
It's so tasteless, it's comical.
You want to hear one more?
Yeah, I do.
And again, all we're doing is adding the music to what they ran on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, we're you know, reminding everybody that, you know. You're right.
You know.
Okay, whatever.
We're half right. We could, yeah. Amy?
John Ritter, please.
John Ritter. All right, John. If you don't like the friends your daughter has and she won't talk to you about it, does Woman's World say it's okay to look through her diary?
I don't think it's right for a parent to look through a child's diary. I hope the trust would be, you know... I say no. I don't think it's right.
I agree.
Well, I agree with both of you, but unfortunately, Woman's World says yes.
Wow.
You have to do whatever it takes to protect
her. That's really funny.
Is how they put it. So X gets that square.
Oh, and X got both of the squares.
Yeah.
On today's episode of... Hold on, there's more?
No.
Oh, let's put the music.
From the celebrity capital of the world, it's Hollywood.
It is
Square.
Surreal.
With John Ritter. Arrow. Little Richard. John Ritter. Judy Gold. John Ritter. Lenny Clark. John Ritter.
Wow.
And our center square, John Ritter.
Odd.
There he is.
Man, the show must go on, huh?
Wow. There's not like a guy got the free pass from God. You know, there's just some guys like Tom Bergeron. I mean...
Yeah, Tom Bergeron, somebody hit him with a lucky stick.
Yep. Just don't know. Just all of a sudden, there you go. You're on TV.
I get the impression he's like that all the time, too.
Yeah. Hi.
What's happening?
Hey. All right, John Ritter.
Richard.
John Ritter. Somewhere he's looking down, he's very happy right now.
Oh, sure.
He's looking down, he's looking down, and he's going, what the F is Fonzie doing? Get Fonzie.
And how long is Fonzie going to be sat on camera?
Until it turns into the job with him taking the John Ritter role, right?
Right.
I mean, isn't he, like, up for the John Ritter role on that show now to replace him?
Jesus, I didn't read that. Is he?
Haven't I heard that?
He has been discussed, believe it or not, Larry, or what's the guy's name who played Larry?
Richard Klein.
Richard Klein is up for it. And here's the worst possibility I read this morning. They're going to bring in Sybil Shepherd as Katie Sagal's sister.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, somebody drops dead in Hollywood, and it's just like opportunity time.
I guess. Yeah.
Everybody get up. It's the Hollywood Square.
Job opening.
I was going to say, no matter what they do, no matter how they package that show, they will never touch the excellence that I saw last night at 9 p.m. on the CBS television network.
Oh, boy.
Quality?
LOL, Mike.
LOL?
Laugh out loud.
Wow, laugh out loud's funny.
Full hour.
KOQ.
Wow, it's a good show.
King of Queens.
Starring Kevin James.
And CH. Call 100 right now. Price package left especially for you. Bad. It was very bad.
Really?
They need...
It's unusual.
They need John Ritter to die and make a guest appearance on that show to save that show, The King of Queens.
Well, it could happen the way they're doing it right now out in Hollywood.
Be right back. Be the 100th caller, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh,
The Discovery Channel is launching a brand new weekly series called Mythbusters. The show is all about urban myths, but it's got an interesting twist.
Now, we've all heard about urban myths and legends, right?
There's the one about peeing on a third rail of a subway track. Wow, that's in the copy. Will that really electrocute you? Wow, this is pretty outrageous stuff for the Discovery Channel.
Now, the Discovery Channel will try to prove or disprove many of these urban legends in the new series called Mythbusters.
The twist of this new show are the two hosts, Jamie.
You see, we read ahead and start laughing at our name before we get to read it.
The twist of this new show are the two hosts, Jamie Heineman and Adam Savage, who will investigate and test some of the best-known urban myths.
Each week, Mythbusters will put another urban myth to the test. Like, can cell phones really explode a gas station?
The show is called Mythbusters. It premieres Friday, October 3rd at 9 p.m. on the Discovery Channel. Then you can catch it every Friday at 9 p.m. after that. These guys really know how to entertain your brain.
WJFK, the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza. I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are dirty. Watch them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, right. Let's get a call 100, then we'll talk to Jimmy Skin. And that one, that was good. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're the 100th caller.
All right.
And what is your given name?
My given name is Hendrick.
Where are you from, Hendrick?
I'm in Napa Valley right now in California.
Beautiful place. You won lunch for two at Quiznos Sub. Going to Quiznos Sub, tried the new Philly cheesesteak. Quiznos Sub. Toasty.
That's how many mms there were?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
HMM?
The first one is H. No, the first is. There are mms. The first is MMM.
Right.
Then it's dash MM dash MM dash MM dash MM. Dot, 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 toasty.
So that would be,
It seems like an awful lot of commercial for a sandwich, doesn't it?
Have you ever had one?
Yes,
I have. I'm not knocking the product.
I love Quiznos.
I've never had one.
It's just toasted, though.
It just seems to me that in an effort to streamline the show, that perhaps the read for the submarine sandwich is not as lengthy as the read for a television or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't. If it's a big ticket prize, I don't mind reading. You know,
You can't eat a television.
Yeah, they toast them so they're nice and crispy.
Mm-hmm. Sub company ought to counter program against that and take their subs and dip them in water.
I hear it's great. I'm just questioning from this end. It was really worth...
Soggy.
One triple M and four double M's.
Well, I think it's all the way you deliver it. If you do it like...
Well, Mike, you know me.
I know, you're a professional.
When there's a product, and especially a product I believe in...
I understand.
I want to sell that product.
Sure.
So I don't want to go...
No.
You know, I want to go...
Act it out.
Eat it on it.
Toasty. Now squeal. Come on, squeal real loud. Do we have that, Rob? Grab that. I like that. Brought to you by Quiznos Sub.
A
satisfied customer.
Little piece of movie history.
Oh, yeah.
This is a movie about a bunch of guys get together and go picnic. Picnicking. And as it turns out, one of them is enjoying a delicious Quiznos Sub.
Mm-hmm.
And God, if we have to pad any faster, Ned Beatty's going to die on us.
I know.
That tape should always be, it has a green label on it.
That is one of the great tapes
there
of all time.
Hot okay. Label.
Here we go. You got it. This man is enjoying a Quiznos Sub.
Right.
Come on, squeal.
Squeal. There's a guy feeding him the sub. Listen to him enjoy that sub.
He's going to holler in a second there with culinary delight.
And There it is. He loved it.
Yeah. He loved every bite.
Loved it. Okay, so, and you won the DVD box set of 24 Season 2, now available on Divid. Own it today. See, that's a reasonable read.
Streamlined.
That's a read for a box set DVD of 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. Right, and there's not five mms with that.
Yeah, there should be. Mm, honey.
Mm, now squeal. Squeal real loud. Thank you. And hold on just a second, please. Is Skin here? I don't see Skin on any of these lines.
Oh, we have a moment. 2 minutes to game two.
Oh, yeah, and hey. Maybe it's because I'm rooting for him. Or maybe it's because, like I said...
Oh, no. You think they lost because you're rooting for him?
All you Red Sox fans really won't know what to do if your guys ever do win a game. But I'll say this. When they F you over...
They F you over
real good.
They did not waste any time. You know, not to mention the fact that here on the East Coast, you know, the game was wrapping up at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
And
it's always nice to see a team win with a bunt. Always nice.
You know, normally it's...
Always nice to see the closer.
In baseball, it's a walk-off home run.
Yes.
This was a walk-off bunt.
Walk-off bunt, and once again, an incredible job by an individual who's really rapidly becoming one of the great closers of all time. Byung Hung Kim.
Yeah.
Seems like outside of a couple of guys, everybody let us down last night. But I... I'm not... You know, I'm not as banged up about it as I used to be. Because now, they got it out of the way early. They let us know exactly the way they're going to play this series.
Mike Rush Limbaugh here.
Hello, Rush.
Mike, the problem is we want the Japanese players to succeed.
Korean, Don.
Same thing, Mike. We want them to succeed.
Do you think it's a media conspiracy, Rush?
I do, which is why I'm sending this young man, Hum Jung Kim.
Byung Hung Kim.
I'm sending him 400 capsules of OxyContin.
Well, you know, maybe if you do that, the effer could pitch a little better. Thank you. I'm glad I got that out of my system.
Let's go to Jim McBride. Here he is, everybody, from the world's greatest website, www.mrskin.com. Howdy, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen.
Here he is. Now, you know, we've plugged it, and we do this at the same time every week, so I don't think I have to lay it on as heavy, except to say I really do go to this website, and I get a laugh when I look at it.
Well, and really, and I'm not exaggerating. I know we do this every week, but the fact of the matter is, there's really no better part of the show for me. I look forward to this part of the show just about as much as anything because I love me the nudity.
Yeah, me too. And I don't, you know, go there and work my man, but I'll go there like with the, you know,
right.
The, no, I don't do that. It has to move.
Yeah.
Still pictures didn't do it for me when I was a kid with Playboy.
It did for me.
The what?
Jim has video clips, though.
I know, but listen. Buzz, that's a room. that's a room where my kid did homework.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the computer is not. That's an office. That's where I write checks.
I mean, if my eyes happened to stray for a moment, if I was thinking about working my man in there, getting my jerk on in that room, mm-hmm. and I looked up and I saw, like, my son's, you know, congratulations, Bart Sors, a scholastic merit. You know, I mean, right away.
Have you ever worked your man near a computer? I don't think I have.
I think maybe I've next to a laptop. When we were traveling one time, it may have been nearby.
Okay.
Right. I've never gotten my jerk on to internet porn.
No, I haven't either.
That's only because they didn't have it in the 70s. They didn't have computers in the 70s.
But I sure did with still pictures in the...
If you were doing it with Playboys in the 70s, you would have done it with a computer.
Yeah.
Well, the Playboys were fine. They were motivation for me when I was a kid. But I would have to then, you know, think up my own fantasy. I couldn't just look at the picture and make it happen.
I went up one time with my parents to my father's college roommate. They were having a reunion. They made me stay in their son's room who had gone off to college. And I opened the closet, and there, as tall as I was, stacked up in the closet, were Playboy magazines.
Oh.
I swear to God, it was like you could hear angels.
Heaven.
Here's my story. That's it. It's over.
So, listen, we all enjoy Jim's site. MrSkin.com.
Yeah.
We like it because it has naked pictures of hot girls. Jim, anything new in the theaters this weekend?
Well, there's two movies opening tomorrow that I want to talk about. One is School of Rock. It's the new Jack Black movie.
Right.
It's about a down-and-out rock star who takes a job as a fourth grade substitute teacher. Now, it's a PG-13 movie, and it's totally geared to kids, so needless to say, if you're going to School of Rock to get your rocks off, don't worry about it. There's no skin. It's a good flick, but there's no skin in this movie. Now, there's another movie opening called Out of Time.
It's That's the Denzel Washington,
yes,
right? The Denzel Washington movie?
Yeah, and it's, he plays a chief of police in a small Florida town. And now, there's a real hot Latina chick in this movie named Eva Mendez. And it's a PG-13 movie. She doesn't get naked in it, but there was another Denzel Washington movie she did with him called Training Day.
Oh,
you're good.
Oh, my God.
You're good. Now, everybody, let me just set the scene, because you know this.
Yeah.
In Training Day, this is when Denzel Washington goes back to the hood.
This is the barrio, right?
Yeah, and he goes in, and, you know, he's married, but
what's the hood? I don't think it's the barrio.
He's got his his piece of ass on the side.
Yeah, she is awesome.
And she's the mother of his son. And this is where the shootout happens, the crazy shootout happens later. But there is a scene when the guy walks in on Denzel Washington, and he's there with this actress, Eva Mendez, is that her name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Mike, if you go to MrSkin.com, you'll see she's in the new Denzel Washington movie that opens this weekend, but here she is in Training Day.
Wow.
And you get Bush and... Nice.
Yeah, so it was a quick scene. The full frontal shot, she was moving really fast, so, you know, it's tough to get a crystal clear look, but, this is one where I say, like, the video, even watching the video, it happened fast, but the fact of the matter, she was full frontal nude, which, I was kind of surprised, especially now that she's become semi-big star, and a lot of guys are going to see her in this movie Out of Time and just wonder, hey, is this babe ever done nudity? And the answer
that's
is a very nice nudity in Training Day.
Yeah, she's got a beautiful body.
All right, beautiful. Well, and that's a good one from Training Day, too, because if you watch it on DVD or HBO, it's one of those where the scene goes by so quickly that you go, wow, hey, hold on, was that girl naked?
It's a great movie.
There she is. All right, what else?
Well, and then another movie out. Now, this is on new on DVD this week. Boat Trip is new on DVD this week. Now, it stars Cuba Gooding Jr., and boy, whatever happened to his career.
Really?
He was huge. He used to host Saturday Night Live and stuff. Cuba Gooding Jr., Horatio Sands are the star of this movie. Now, the critics absolutely hated it. Everything was wrong with it, according to the critics.
I know. There are two guys, they get booked on a gay cruise?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, except one of the good things they did in this R-rated flick is they got a bunch of Playboy playmates to play, like, Swedish, bikini team or something. At one point, they were doing jumping jacks in just bikini bottoms. But if you guys know Victoria Silvstedt, she was a Playmate of the Year in 97. And they also got another playmate named Jamie Farrell.
All right, Mikey, now here's Victoria Silvstedt. Now, she's not showing everything. Well, no, she's kind of popping out of one of them here.
Yeah, she doesn't. Oh, she's actually only in a bikini, but which is weird. But tons of other babes are naked, including Jamie Farrell.
Now,
look at those.
Take a look at Jamie Farrell. Now, the girl next to her is obvious. Those are obviously fake.
Whoa!
Jamie Farrell's, they're fakes, but they're good fakes, right?
They're good fakes. You got
good
it.
Good fakes. Wow.
One looks bigger than the other.
Yeah.
Look how much bigger the right areola is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine if all areolas were that big.
Yeah, I think I see a little mole under the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Hello.
You do. Yeah. But still, who would think that in this awful movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. that you would see these girls with... Now, they're fakes, but they're good fakes.
Oh, they are. They're really good fakes. And again, what I like about this, it's, you know, great lighting. You know, we always say, what good's nudity if you need to wear night vision goggles? So, great nudity and in great lighting. And tons of big-breasted babes. So,
man, I tell you, that is...
Yeah, it's some really good nudity. So when you're at the new release section, check out Boat Trip. Not so much... for the quality of the movie, but the quality of the nudity, great stuff.
And I guess here's how it works. You go to MrSkin.com, you type in either Boat Trip, or you type in Jamie Farrell, you type in Victoria
Silvstedt.
Yeah. And boom, you're there. You're looking at the same pictures we're looking at.
Beautiful ladies.
Yeah, great stuff. So that's new this week. And now, two things I wanted to talk about from TV. I haven't mentioned too much about TV, and I wanted to bring this up. There's a new TV series on NBC called Las Vegas. Tons of hot babes in this. Vanessa Marcel, Nikki Cox. We talked about Nikki Cox.
Oh, Nikki Cox, right.
Yeah. And even Cheryl Ladd, who still looks hot to this day on the show, and a girl named Molly Sims, who you might remember, she was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She also used to be on Old Navy commercials. Done a lot of TV stuff, but Molly Sims is also on this show. Well, last week she had a sex scene in the during the show. Now it's
This is on regular NBC TV.
Right. But here's the cool thing. She's having sex with this guy, so we're getting the basic, okay, we get the bear back, we're kind of bummed out, we know she's hot, we'd like to see something. But at the Skin Laboratories, as we were going through this, we looked at the reflection in the window, and you see breasts in the reflection.
Oh, my God. What?
You do.
Genius.
You're
absolute genius.
You really do. People at NBC don't realize... And it is a clear picture
of her boobs.
Of her bosoms.
It happened quick, and most eye was focused, obviously, on her bare back. But over in the left corner there...
I know we can get.
Yeah, so they were popping cork and cork and champagne at the Skin offices.
That's amazing.
Because Molly, she hasn't done anything in a movie. I mean, obviously, she looked great in bikinis and Sports Illustrated, but this was her first breast exposure. So I had to change her from a one-star for no nudity to a two-star brief nudity.
That is hysterical.
It is. She posed for the nudity... that she didn't think she was posing for. She was doing a nude scene.
Is that a tattoo that she's got, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On her, very close to her left buttock?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. A nice spot for a tattoo. Very unique.
This is, Jim, really, this is what makes your site so great. Here's this actress who thinks, I'm not going to do nudity. Okay, I'll do the show where I'll take my top off and pretend to have sex. I'll dry hump, but because it's NBC, no one will ever see me.
Right.
No one will see my breasts until you stop it frame by frame and look in the reflection of the window.
Wow.
God, good one, Jim.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun one. And another TV moment last night. They debuted on ABC, Karen Sisko. And if you were watching football this weekend or Monday night, they were, advertising this, really promoting this a lot. And guys are checking this babe out and saying, who's this Karen Sisko? Well, her name is Carla Gugino. She, you might know her. She had a brief run on Chicago Hope. She was also on Spin City for a year.
I tell you what, she's got some knockers.
You got it. Well, the cool thing is,
wow.
and I know everyone's dying to know, has Carla Gugino ever been naked? And the answer is very good.
Yes.
In a 1996 movie called Jaded. There's a incident at the beach, and you see her naked there, and then there's a scene where she's in the shower, kind of kneeling down there.
That's what I'm looking at right
Yeah,
now.
And boy, what a pair, huh?
Yeah, now those are, man, and there's one where she's kind of sitting up, and they're standing at attention, and
you got it.
Wow. Those are some nice boobs, and what's the TV show she's on again?
So Karen Sisko, S-I-S-E-O.
Based on the Elmore Leonard book.
You got it, and yeah, so she's going to be, obviously now if this show does well and guys are going to see her, she's definitely sexy, good actress. They're going to want to know if she's been naked, and the answer is a resounding yes.
That's right.
The movie's 1996's Jaded, really good nudity.
All right, well, Jimmy, just waiting for your music. I'm catching up. Robbie was catching up on some reading there.
Show prep.
I'm saying to Rob, no. Actually, with Rob, no. Jimmy, thank you. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mr. Skin, another great week for Mr. Skin.
Jim McBride, Skintologist. www.mrskin.com.
We always talk about our favorite. I would say this week it would have to be, for me, even though it's not a nude picture, the Victoria Silvstedt. She just looks so hot.
I'm going to have to go with Ava Mendez.
Yeah, even though it's brief.
From Training Day, because I remember that scene.
It's definitely my number two.
And she had wanted, you said number two. She was one, you were watching it, and you wanted to see more of her naked. You knew that she was in bed.
Wanted to see more of her naked. You wanted to crawl into the movie screen.
You did. So that's Jim McBride.
Of course, if you did that, Denzel Washington would kick your ass.
Denzel! Mama. May I interest you in some OxyContin for a night with lovely Ava.
Ava Mendez.
Ava Mendez.
Lovely.
Ladies and gentlemen,
she's hot and she shows bush.
Denzel Washington, did he win the Oscar because he is black?
I think it's a social issue, primarily.
Martha, buy pills, please.
Thank you.
Okay, now we can continue. Now, nothing about Rush Limbaugh, but we do have, if you're up for it, an edition of DJ Spotlight coming up.
Ah, very good.
Everybody in the mood for some DJ Spotlight?
Absolutely.
Sure. Where we can, I'll just plug this a little bit in advance.
Okay.
And we have a tape to listen to of a DJ.
Okay.
All right. And also there's one of these free giveaway magazines.
Right.
Where some of the local disc jockeys talk about why they enjoy living in the various areas of the metropolitan, listening range.
Isn't that lovely?
That's great. And for instance, I'll just do a quick word association so that everybody around the country can be hip to the cities that we're talking about. I'll ask you, Mike. When I say Vienna, what is the first word that comes to mind?
Tan.
Brown.
Mm-hmm. I would say adobe. Buzz?
Thatch.
When I say...
What? I don't know. What do I don't get the game.
No, it's just... When you, like, if you were to say, for instance, Los Angeles, you'd say, oh, glamour.
Right.
Chicago, you would say, snow.
Oh, sausages, then.
There is a, okay, all right, I get it. Okay, hydrocodone.
All right.
I get it. And there's sausages. But, because we live here, it's a way to tell people exactly, because these are the cities that we're going to be talking about.
I stole my Vienna from Rob, who always says the color of Vienna is, everything in Vienna is brown or
tan. All right, here's one I know we all have an opinion on. Fairfax.
Crowded.
I'll say it. Asshole.
Backwards.
Buzz?
Home.
Well, those are two of the cities that local disc jockeys spoke about at length in this dumb dining directory magazine.
Ah.
That's really just it's like the thing you get in your mailbox at home. it's all ads.
Yeah.
For dining and restaurants and like Mr. Wash Car Wash.
Very good.
Then right here, sandwiched in the middle is a thing where they ask disc jockeys why they like living where they live.
Ah.
I think you'd be surprised. Surprised to see why Chili Amar.
Oh, God.
From Q107 enjoys living in Vienna.
Okay. Sausages.
Or maybe why Jessica Cash from Oldies 100 loves living in Fairfax.
Ah, fantastic.
Fairfax.
She's that close. I am so curious.
So we'll have it coming right back. Wow.
What?
No, look at I hit the button. Now it's flashing.
Try it again.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You want a Mac?
Hour 95, Maze Patrol lines open for your convenience at 381-1420. In 3 years, she's gone from like a virgin to a pistol-waving mama. The lady has the moves, and I got the motion, and together we'll be causing such a commotion that the authorities will love to run us out of town. Madonna from Power 95. Power 95 with the Maze. Hi, who is this?
I shouldn't tell you.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Have I seen you before?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Many times?
Many times.
That narrows it down to 1,000.
I don't recognize the voice.
That narrows it down
okay.
to 1,000.
Is this Marianne?
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Michelle?
No.
Are you Katie?
No.
God.
Are you Annette?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Because of you, I'll be right over.
I'm having your baby, Maze.
Sister. Power 95 with the Maze getting ready to step out in style. Got my clean shirt on, knee shoes, silk suit, black tie, my diamond ring is on, grab my top hat and coat and my white gloves. Ladies come running as fast as they can because they're crazy about a sharp-dressed man. Easy top and high class from Power 95.
Oh, God. Oops, hold on a second. The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, we are. Oh, the Maze.
Yeah, I love the Maze. Our favorite.
Oh, we're going to get into this DJ spotlight segment. And frankly, I see no reason why we don't go with a bit of an audible while staying within the parameters of what we've promised you, DJ Spotlight.
Very good.
Let's put a spotlight on some DJs. Not Rush Limbaugh.
No. This is a little closer to home.
Mm-hmm. Alan.
Alan, line one, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Hey, guys.
Couldn't be happier to be back on the air, working with WJFK, working with Westwood One. No obstacles for the next 5 years.
How are you, Alan Linewan?
Guys, how you doing?
Oh,
I want to tell you something, and Alan, I really, before I start busting your balls, I do mean this. At least speaking from my vantage point, had a great time coming back, knowing that we don't have to worry about this junk for all those years. So,
I know. You and me both.
We're very happy. We think we've had some pretty good shows, and this is why we're troubled.
Yeah, it's a troubling development, and
we want to know what we can do to help outside of actually giving any money.
Because we're prepared to be team players, and whenever there's a bump in the road, we want to try to pitch in if we can.
Now we hear that the FCC has fined Infinity Broadcasting $357,500 for running the Opie and Anthony show, the Sex and the Church show. Now, that's the maximum fine is $27,500, but because they were carried on 13 stations, mm-hmm. and people give us crap about our affiliate list,
right?
Because they were carried by 13 stations, every station is getting fined, so that makes the total $357,000 and change. How are you going to come up with your $27,500?
You know what? I can't even comment on it because I'm not even... I was just made aware of that a couple of minutes ago. I have no comment on it.
You know, back in my high school days, a bake sale was always a good idea.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Book sale, bake sale.
Yeah. Candy. Maybe we can sell candy bars.
Uh-huh. Let me say, as a stockholder, and I am, this in no way... It makes Infinity Broadcasting any less desirable to me, and I want to help anybody out there making a decision about a broadcasting company in the future. I want them to know we're rock solid here at Infinity.
Oh, yeah.
We're rock solid. Okay. Each of these stations is going to have to come up with 27 grand.
And, Alan, this might be controversial, but I'm just thinking out loud, so bear with me here, but...
Do I have to be on the phone when you think out loud?
Well,
yeah, you do.
Listen up here. This could be interesting. Have you thought about maybe selling OxyContin?
No, I haven't.
On the black market, you know, or
Alan,
hydrocodone?
Alan, I got to ask you something, too.
No, we'll have to talk to another personality about that.
All right.
What a mess to be in. How will this affect brand-new employee Dick Ferry?
Oh, Richard?
Has anybody broken the news to Dick Ferry about this?
No, but I'm glad to have him.
How is Dick Ferry going to react when he hears that the FCC has hit this company with a huge fine?
Well, hopefully he'll go out and sell something.
All right, Alan. Well, I just wanted to let you know on our behalf, because we're happy that everything has worked out. You have our support. Whether you need us to put a bucket out, on the corner to say, help pay the fine.
Take some sport jackets from some of the account executives and sell those.
That would, yeah, absolutely. I know one or two I could help you out with there.
And, if we have to, we can even pull out the very merry Dick Ferry,
mm-hmm.
and spotlight him somehow as our new employee mascot.
Poster child.
Turn things around.
It's October, so I think what you want is the scary Dick Ferry.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have a lot of new people floating around here soon, so.
Wow.
Onto your hat.
Well, now here's. No,
oh, it's going to be a wild ride.
Now here's,
oh,
yeah. Here's a question: are you throwing that out as your way of getting your propaganda out to the people who work under you?
No propaganda. They know it.
Will we have to make room for the new ones?
I can't say that specifically,
so
but
you are,
I'm saying there's going to be a lot of new faces floating around here. Yeah.
So you're saying, if I can read between the lines here, that perhaps some of the salespeople at this radio station are on less than solid ground right now.
Hey, listen, we're all on less than solid ground, so.
You know what,
except
ladies
you.
And gentlemen?
Except you guys.
You know what? We're in his wheelhouse.
How many of you got back there? How many of you got corralled back there?
I think we have about 16 now.
You got 16. So of the 16, how many are rock solid safe?
Oh, today 16.
16. Are you planning on adding, or are you going to add and subtract?
I can't tell you that, but I know there's going to be more people in the hallways of JFK.
What if you're one of the 16, one of the sweet 16? What could you do, or maybe it's already been done? Alan,
that's a great question you're leading up to.
You mentioned today that was the day. This is a two-parter. What about tomorrow? Who's safe of the Sweet 16 for tomorrow?
Call me tomorrow.
And for those who are on the bubble,
call me tomorrow.
What can they do?
Well, elevate? Just sell.
Sell constantly.
Sell what?
Sell
blood? Sell blood? Sell OxyContin?
No, sell the Don and Mike show.
Let's talk about hours. Alan, what are the kind of hours you're expecting some of these junior account executives to keep?
Well, I mean, you know, mediocre people work, I think, you know, 8:30 to 5:30.
Right.
If you put in the commitment, you know, you work as long as you have to work to get the job done.
Very good.
I've seen really good people get here at 7.
I'm noticing now, you mentioned sell the Don and Mike show. I'm noticing today that you've got no avails on this program log.
I know, thanks.
This is a sold-out show.
Yes, it is.
So, yes, it is.
He's happy. You hear the smile in his voice.
Problem, you know, not here. Look at some of the other areas. Let me ask you, Alan, what do you think about this programming-wise? You know, I'm fascinated with the great Tim Sabian and the mind that brought us, you know, Metallica.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this? Talktober.
Oh.
Do you like Talktober?
The month of Talktober.
Yeah. JFK presents Talktober.
Fantastic.
Nah, I'm happy with what we're presenting.
Gotcha. So, to summarize, before we end our discussion with Alan, who is now, in fact, the general manager.
Yeah, right? He is the man now.
He's got the job. Yeah, give it up for him. He's got the job.
Yeah.
Was that you?
That was me, yes, Alan. I was applauding. And you know what, Alan? I have to share this. So was Rob.
So you've got 16 salespeople. How many? 50% of them safe? Alan?
What's today's date?
Today is the 2nd.
Say, the month just started.
Yeah.
Let's see how this month goes.
That's a no, Don.
We put it this way. Fourth quarter is we just started fourth quarter today. Yesterday.
Happy fourth quarter, Alan.
See, how many of you realize that this is really a business? I know you think that we just come in and goof around. This is really this is really business. Should Michelle save her classifieds?
Nah, Michelle's a great salesperson.
Yeah.
Should Madonna be tweaking her resume?
Listen, we have a lot of great salespeople here. I'm not going to go through the list. Nice try.
Methinks I detect a note of anger.
Would Paul Gorgie be safe booking his tanning salon into the month of November?
Only if he's made budget in the month of October.
Oh, wow. All right, he is.
We've learned something. Uh-huh. Now we've learned something. What about wild card?
Oh.
Steve Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Alan, when I say Steve Johnson and you say nothing...
That's silence. That's Rob Spiewak silence.
You know what? When you I've got to fill the silence. If I say Steve Johnson...
Yeah.
And I got to fill it. I've got to... I got to fill the
Hey, Al?
Yeah. Science.
Let's play a little word association, okay?
Oh, boy.
I'll say Steve Johnson. What's the first word that comes into your head?
Good guy.
Oh, boring.
Two words. I say bold liar. What's the first word that comes into your mind?
I'm not going to play the game.
How about McWilliams? What's the first word that comes?
And I wasn't insinuating on the reputation of the fine gentleman.
No, of course.
I was insinuating on the reputation of Alan.
Yes, of course. How about McWilliams?
A super salesperson.
Yeah, that's like...
Needs to go to etiquette school, but super salesperson.
It's like 20 words, Alan. You're not playing this game right.
Yeah, well, I don't play word games real well.
Dick Ferry.
State.
Penn State, again, two words, kind of.
You're awful. You know, Allen values the fourth quarter, the fourth financial quarter that he's in right now, even more. He values the fourth quarter more than the first nickel he ever found.
Or the quarter that's on the floor.
That's right.
That's right. All right, Al, so listen, great news. This whole thing, you were not officially on watch when this whole fine thing happened, right? You They had busted the other guy out of here, right? You were just kind of filling the chair.
Yeah, I'd have to look back on the calendar.
I believe you get a hall pass on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you're the guy. You just came in to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
You must be feeling on top of the world today.
It'll be steak dinners at the Line One residence
you
tonight.
Must be feeling absolutely on top of the world.
I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you enjoyed talking to us again, Alan?
You know, it's become such a pleasure, I'll tell you.
And we love talking to you. We love talking to you.
And I'm glad you're back in 7 years, God.
Five. It's five.
It's long, long time.
Five. Five. But either way, five, seven, you won't be here then, so it doesn't matter.
That's true.
All right. Bye,
Alan. Hold on.
Right, hold on. Oh,
Rob
hold
wants
on,
to say
on.
Something to you.
Who? Mr. Linewand, here's to a great fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's not going to answer you, Rob.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. See, let Alan have a joke.
That's his running joke.
Alan hates Rob.
I've become fond of that joke.
All right. Thanks, Al.
And I apologize
for
that. Bye.
See you.
Bye. Bye. There he goes.
He's fun.
He's lots of fun. You know, and is it me or does he execute that joke? You know, in a worse way every time we call him.
Somehow, exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse and worse.
It does.
And the FCC says with this fine that they're imposing that, let me see, the contest was a well-planned event and approved by the station's management.
Yeah, I don't think you can make it any more clear than that.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Yes.
I can.
Rest well, Jeremy.
Oh, he's got his new gig at whatever the
satellite thing.
The cousin of XM is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, good luck to him. Well, that takes away from...
That's the second good luck we've sent out on the show today.
The second one we really didn't mean. Back to the DJ thing. Mm-hmm. If I got time here. Hold on. Let me see. How long did we talk to Alan for? Jesus. Too long?
A little too long. Always too long talking to him.
All right. We're going to have to break, but I'll just tell you what we have. The items we have in today's DJ Spotlight.
Very good.
A disc jockey from Kansas who grew up in the D.C. area and listened to us on WAVA and JFK.
Yeah.
Then jobs took him to New Jersey and Kansas City. He was recently fired as a disc jockey in Kansas City. He now lives in Overland Park, Kansas,
a suburb of Kansas City, really.
A suburb of Kansas City. But anyway, he sent us a letter and his tape.
Good.
And he hopes that we'll listen to it. And then, of course, we have the disc jockeys in the... it's not a magazine. It's one of those things you get for free at the grocery store.
Oh.
And if you're wondering, speaking of this right on topic with today's show, I was looking at this thing, Northern Virginia Living, the top 50 restaurants is the guise that this magazine is published under. And it's really just commercials for restaurants. But also this ad, this full page ad caught my eye. Hemorrhoids.
That's tying it into the earlier subject.
A problem worth solving.
Oh,
the painless non-surgical solution. And, you know, when we were in, right here, hemorrhoid relief centers.
Oh, wow. They have whole centers.
So there you go. You gotta know what you're doing. And Mike, I know you'll want to take this call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Bad news, buddy.
What's the score?
3-0. Jamaican Daddy's got a double.
Really?
Yeah.
3-0 Oakland?
Yeah. They're toast. I mean, I hate to say that.
Me too.
I'd love to have to come back and eat my words, but I thought that last night.
I lost to the wind so bad.
They're toast, and they're just not hitting. So, you know, that's it. I mean, what the hell? Never say die, but I'm sad. I was sad last night. I'm sad to hear that today.
I'm sticking with him.
Go back.
Thank you, Don.
I'm standing by him.
I know. I'm standing by him. I'm just, you know, I can only hope.
Is this Blind Glenn?
Yes, me.
From Las Vegas?
Hey, thanks for the update, Glenn. I appreciate that.
I got you on one radio and then the Bell game on the other radio.
Oh, that's good for you.
You know it.
Thanks, Blind Glenn.
Okay, guys.
See you later.
Bye. Similar to the Red Sox batting order today, it sounds like. Blind Glenn.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Redskins. Eagles. This Sunday. Pre-game at 1. Kickoff at 4. On Redskins Radio. 106.7 WJFK.
Rob just said something to me that truly is funny. Glenn no matter what happens, will never see the Red Sox win in his lifetime.
Oh, God. No.
That's good, Ron.
That is good cruelty.
And that wasn't on the network. That was just for you guys. Now, here's Bev. Michael. I love to root for the home teams.
I hear that, dog. And it's nice to know that Singular Wireless is rooting for you. With Singular on your side, you'll win with Singular's great calling plans. If you need to keep your team connected, get family talk with nationwide long distance.
Add a line to your calling plan for $9.99 or per line per month. You can start at just $39.99. Share your minutes, and you only have to keep up with one bill.
If you need phones, Singular lets you be the hero and score for free. Nokia 6340i phones after signing a 2-year service agreement. I read that very badly.
Score for free phones.
Score for free. Oh, it's beautiful copy.
Make sure you tell them Don and Mike sent you.
Yes, certain restrictions apply. See any Singular Wireless store for details.
WJFK, the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Outrageous.
We just went to your funeral and it really cheered us up.
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike.
A stellar job today, I might add.
Moving faster than the speed of justice, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, I have to apologize to you. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay?
What?
I'm going to focus on the show. I'm not going to do what I just did.
It's 5-0?
Yeah, I went in. I watched during the commercial break, I watched some of the game. That was bad. It was a wrong thing to do. I apologize to you and our listeners.
The game is happening now. It's important to you now.
Yeah, it took me out of the show completely. That commercial, we just, for those of you that didn't hear that, we read a local commercial live. And it was just horrible because my mind was on the game and
God damn it! I'm going to the titty bar next week. I'm baby stepping.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I knew that they'd have trouble with Oakland, and obviously they are.
Yeah.
But they're just, they're playing like high school guys.
Well, Jesus. Listen, we could spend this segment on this topic, although something tells me we'd be better served tomorrow after they lose today.
You know what I'm... yes, go ahead. Yes.
I was just going to say that I echo the sentiment of all those people on the HBO show. In some perverse way, you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
In some perverse way, you and all members of Red Sox Nation are happy because...
Not necessarily correct.
They're losing.
Not happy, Don. There's maybe part of me that's a little relieved that maybe they're not going to cause greater pain, that it's going to be quick and it's going to be over. And you know what I'm also thinking, and this is how sick it is, I'm thinking, this has been a good run for this team this year. This is going to be terrific to build on for next year.
Okay.
I know. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel.
Buzz, and I wouldn't say this unless I really meant it.
Yes.
I need 3 oxycontins and 3 hydrocodones for Mike.
Coming right up.
Right now.
Yes. Put them in me.
Suppositories, please. Please, suppositories. Okay, DJs.
Yes.
DJs.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just got some wonderful payola from Time Life Music.
Huh.
It's great. You're Don.
Wow.
And your show, most of my life, listening since elementary school. I know you are a huge fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show. And his company released these DVDs. Please accept these DVDs as a gift from me, and don't let the guys at Infinity keep you down.
Is that one of the nicest things you've ever received? I think for you it is, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what's nice, Mike, is that there on each DVD,
mm-hmm.
there are 4 episodes. And I received from Time Life, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
Which means I got, so there's 4, 8, 16, 20, 24 episodes.
That's a great, great gift.
Yeah. No, it's not. Because there's over 160 episodes of this show. You know what?
I should enlighten the people at the, is this Time Life?
Time Life.
I should tell them they don't know your penchant for collecting.
You got to send me all of them. You got to send me all of them. And I can't buy them.
Right.
My wife won't let me buy them because I bought all the Star Trek, the Next Generation ones,
uh-huh.
on VHS. And at one time I had over 200
yes.
tapes that I never watched. We threw them away.
This is a man who's working on a collection of having every cigar ever made
uh-huh.
and in his home.
And all the TV shows that I like. I want, just in case, when the big one happens,
yes, you want to have them with you.
I want to be set.
If you could, I don't know why this is popping into my head, but it's a happy thought anyway. if you could take one thing with you, you know how, like in certain cultures, when they put you in the ground, they let you keep something in the casket. If you had one personal item that you would want to take to the hereafter, what would it be?
As retarded as this sounds.
What did Rob say? What did Rob write down?
He wrote his name.
Yeah, Rob. Rob, in the casket with you.
Thank you.
Rob would dive into the casket.
Good guess.
Probably some stupid Packers thing.
A Packers piece.
I know that's retarded, but that's probably it. Mm-hmm. You know, bury me in my Packers socks.
Very cool.
But anyway, time life. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I just like to say, this is a good jumping off place. And if you like the free commercial you got today, that's great. But if this is it.
Maybe that's all they've pressed
so far.
Yeah,
that might be the one. That's all they believe.
I find that hard to believe, Buzz. This is a company. Look at how well packaged these things are. They're a different color. They got the Time Life logo. You know.
Maybe they're releasing them four at a time.
Yeah.
You know, old Dick Van Dyke is just sitting around on his ass, just waiting to die, waiting to get the money from these things. That they've got all of them out there. If I wanted to, I'd just TiVo them all.
Are the episodes written down on the back? Do they tell you what episodes?
Episode one, I know it by heart. The Sick Boy and the Sitter. The one where Richie hides under the cupboard because he doesn't want Rob to leave on a trip.
Right.
Number two, a big Max. Yeah, and that's where a mobster hires them to do an act, to write an act for a struggling. See, this is really like the Rupert Pupkin Jeopardy thing, because I can tell you the plots of all of these episodes.
I know, and that's why I ask, because I like to see you demonstrate.
Coast to Coast Big Mouth, perhaps my favorite Dick Van Dyke show ever. That is where Laura Petrie goes on the equivalent of the Johnny Carson show.
Are you tracking? You're tracking with this. You know this, right? You know these episodes too, Rob?
And Laura Petrie inadvertently says that Alan Brady has a toupee. Coast to Coast. It might have been a game show that she was on.
Right.
Dear Sally Rogers. Oh, this is where Sally Rogers goes on, like, the Johnny Carson show, and she starts a campaign to find a husband, and she becomes so popular as a panelist on the show that she, for a brief time, quits the Dick Van Dyke show.
You ever think about checking yourself for radiation?
Here's a good one. My blonde-haired brunette. That's the night that Laura decides that there's no fun in their life, so she dyes her hair blonde.
I remember that one, because, you know what? I thought Laura looked pretty hot.
Sure. It usually does.
I'm still looking on. It has just the titles here, and I'm guessing. Where did I come from? That's what Rob tells Richie how he was born. Although he doesn't tell him that.
Isn't that when he shows Richie how?
Daddy has a penis. Daddy has a penis, and Mommy has a vagina. Now in real life, my name is Dick, but on the show, my name is Rob. On the show, your mommy's name is Laura. In real life, her name is Mary. Now, watch what both Rob and Dick do to Mary and Laura.
And that's when they mate.
In front of Richie.
Right.
The best thing about the DVDs is that since I think they first aired, this is the first time they've restored Rosemarie's original nudity.
The missing scenes.
Here's another great one, and then I'll stop this, because this is just too much, like, the stuff that goes on in my head. It may look like a walnut. I know this one. This is the one where Rob Petrie is having nightmares because he's watched a science fiction movie on TV, and Danny Thomas is an alien, and when he opens up the closet in his living room, Laura comes out and she has thousands of walnuts around her, and Danny Thomas can see through an eye in the back of his head.
Wow.
Thanks, everybody.
What's the score of the game, Buzz?
It's still 5-0.
Thanks, everybody. You know how earlier Joe got his time with because he knew all about OxyContin? Right? This is my time. This is what I know about the Dick Van Dyke Show.
And I'm going to ask you this because I'm a friend.
Yeah.
Do you think you could go through all of those DVDs and tell us what every episode is? It's only 24.
I could, but can you imagine the sounds of radios clicking off throughout America?
I just wanted you to know that if you wanted to do it, I was throwing you that pitch.
No, here's why
I was throwing you that Tim Wakefield knuckleball.
Here's why you're throwing me the pitch, because right now I could be reading hog futures. You really wouldn't care because you're thinking about the game.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Maybe a little bit.
What's the score, Buzz?
Still 5-0.
5-0.
Are they out of the inning?
Yeah.
Yes, right. They are. Okay. How many outs?
I don't know.
Okay. What's the inning?
Buzz, they have a little thing up in the corner.
Not right now, they don't.
They're showing commercials?
No, they're showing a wide shot of the field, but nothing in the upper left-hand
corner.
How
many points? I ever tell you, I went to this game one time with this guy, Steve Kushner. And this was back, I don't know, 1982. Okay, so you got a time reference. The players are wearing the spandex uniforms, and I'm working in Pittsburgh.
Spandex.
Well, they had those. They had those clingy.
It was
polyester, but very.
It just sounds funny. That's the picture, you know, players wear like Siegfried and Roy or something like that.
Well, the Pirates did wear these gay poly. You remember them?
They stopped wearing belts, and they had the synthetic material. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They had the bright orange jerseys, and they had those ridiculous, like, mini stovepipe hats, those
right.
mini Abe Lincoln hats.
Horrible hats.
Anyway, I'm going to the game at Three River Stadium to see the Pirates play the Cubs, and Steve Kushner is joining me. And first off, here's the faux pas. You're going to a ball game, whether it's 1980, 1950, or today, 2003. You don't go wearing sweatpants, dark socks, and tennis shoes. You just don't. I mean, sweatpants, always okay. Dark shoes, okay if you got a pair of regular shoes. But you don't, you know, gray sweatpants.
Dark shoes, not with sweatpants. You mean, if you have a regular pair of pants, you can wear dark shoes.
Yeah, of course. But he's got gray sweatpants on, dark, like, nylon work stockings, and then tennis shoes.
Oh.
And to top the experience off, top of the third, the score is 5-2, Pittsburgh's winning.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to leave because the team that I'm interested in, Chicago, is not winning. He says, can't we go? And I said, no, you got to give it a little time. They can come back. And he said, well, look, Pittsburgh has 5 points. And I said, you faggot. You are such a fag.
Five points.
And, you know, not even Buzz does that.
No, right. Not even I do that.
He knows runs. Even Buzz knows that, for goodness sakes.
Points.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
We're doing great.
And Mike. Hey, actually, the walnut she came out of the entry hall closet in, Kolak had two eyes in the back of his head that he could see in.
Okay, I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Okay, well, you know, just and then, you know what that episode spurred? That was directed by Jerry Helper, and that was the episode that gave him the idea for Mork and Mindy.
Hey, don't you have to be back on the set of Revenge of the Nerds?
I just thought Mike, that Rob would
listen,
appreciate
please
that.
Please don't attack this man.
He's on the same plane as I am. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
That was stupid.
And he's absolutely right. There were two eyes in the back of Danny Thomas's head.
How did they get oxygen?
By drinking water.
There you go. Beautiful. And what was their address?
Bonnie Meadow Lane. I don't remember the street, but it's Bonnie Meadow Lane in New Rochelle.
Beautiful. 723, but we're both nerds. Anyway, hey, just thought I'd let you know. I'm glad you had the details there somewhere.
Popular show.
Hey, hold on.
Got it.
Let me see if I get you here. Hold on a second.
He's pretty good.
I'm going to look at some of these here now.
I'm sorry, I should rephrase that. He's pretty good. Still considered one of the best sitcoms ever.
Oh, okay. This is not one that's in this box set, but here's one. Where does Rob meet Laura's old boyfriend, who he thinks wrote love poems to Laura? Where does he meet him, and what is the trick with the guy? There's an old boyfriend Rob meets, finds out later he was involved with Laura. Laura has kept his love poetry all these years.
Up in the attic. And that was that not from Jacques...
No.
Jacques, what's his name? No, that wasn't a Jacques episode. Okay,
no.
You got me.
You know who that was? Rob is at the club playing golf. He meets this dude who he's playing golf with. And they're talking, and Rob says, oh, my wife, Laura. And this guy says, oh, Laura. You know, and I'm gonna hip this up. The guy says, hey, I used to bang a girl named Laura. And Rob says, really, my wife is named Laura? And he says, Laura Megan. And Rob goes, oh, my God.
Was Laura Megan on the show the maiden name?
That was her maiden name.
Wow.
So, of course, what happens is Laura finds out about this. The guy's a priest now.
There you go. And you know who played the priest?
No,
same guy he's been in a million bit parts. It was
That guy. Okay,
yeah, that guy.
See, well, here's the thing. If you're going to say, no, I agree. If you're going to
say, you know who played the priest,
and you don't have the answer,
that guy that's been in a million bit parts
again.
All right, I'll give you one more, and I'm going to kill you on this one. You should know this one if you're a Dick Van Dyke fan. On the episode where Dick Van Dyke thought that where Rob Petrie thought that they had mixed up the babies.
God damn it, my phone's going out.
No, I just said the answer.
Well, his phone was dying. He was into it.
Hello?
He's gone.
What's the score?
Still, oh, it's now 5-1. Bottom of the third, no outs, nobody on.
Single, solo shot, home run?
I don't ask me that. I don't know.
Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right. I was really proud of what I had.
Yeah, that was good. No, that was excellent, really. I know. Sorry, I'm obsessing.
I know.
So the deal is Rob is sure that they've got the wrong baby.
Well, did you start this again? What episode is it?
I don't even know what this is, but
oh, okay.
Rob gets the baby home and they're sure they have the wrong baby.
What's the baby, Ricky?
Yeah, no, that's Lucy. It's Richie. So he calls up the guy who had the baby.
That's a real mistake.
He calls up the guy who has the other baby.
Who were their neighbors downstairs?
They live next door. That was Millie and Jerry Helper.
I know, Jerry Helper.
So he calls them up and he says, I think we've got the wrong babies. And the guy says, I'll come over with my wife and our baby. And they come over and they open the door and shock. Remember, it's 1963. Okay. The other couple are Negroes.
Yeah. Wow.
So it gets like a gigantic laugh because, oh my gosh, they couldn't be the same because he's a Negro and he's white.
Did it border on political incorrectness?
No. It was pulled off in such a way that it was, you know, Rob Petrie did that. Oh my! He didn't even say anything. He just opened the door, and in came two Negroes, and it was like, oh, hey, I dig this.
One of the biggest laughs in the history of situation comedies, yeah. Longest laugh
at the time.
That
probably,
and when
who was the dad? Who was the dad?
It was Donovan McNabb.
No, it's. Oh, it's the guy that was on Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, though. It's that guy who had a million bit parts.
Is it Greg Morris?
Greg Morris.
That is.
That's it.
Greg
That's
Morris.
Right, absolutely.
From Mission Impossible.
Wow.
All right, Mike, you need a score update?
Yeah. Still 5-1. No chance.
One man on.
Better than 5-0. One man on, no out.
Okay, now the DJ stuff, which we didn't get to. Well, put those away. Just put those away, please. Oh, we got a break first. Well, the publisher of the magazine is on the phone, though.
Oh.
This is not a magazine. Hello. What's your name?
My name's Mike.
Mike, you say you're the publisher of this thing that Robbie got in his junk mail, a Northern Virginia Living Top 50 Restaurants?
Yeah, slow down there, Terrible. It ain't junk mail. That's a good magazine.
Now, hold on. Let me just tell you what's in this magazine. The cover, and first off, it's printed on very cheap paper.
It's like a circular.
The cover says top 50 restaurants.
Correct.
The back page is an ad for Papa John's. The second page is an ad for carpeting and granite countertops. Third page is an ad for windows. Then the fourth page and the fifth page are the thing about the DJs. And then there's a Trusted Choice, car wash commercials, featured restaurants. And I noticed that, for instance, with most of the restaurants that you feature in and you write profiles about, many of them coincidentally have bought advertisements in this publication.
Some of the finest restaurants in Northern Virginia. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, now wait a minute, and you can make the argument that like Washingtonian has restaurants that buy,
Mike,
that is not a magazine, sir.
This is not a magazine.
You're right, Mike. It's not a Washingtonian. It is a freebie, and we do just mostly advertising with some articles.
Well, okay. Do you call it a magazine or do you call it a flyer?
We actually call it a magazine.
You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself.
You know what? Here's the deal. Here's what I think you should do. You should find a compromise between magazine and flyer. You should use another word somewhere in between magazine and flyer.
Either flagazine or Meyer. It's either a flagazine or a Meyer.
Flagazine. That's
but
good.
It's not a
flagazine. Yeah.
But it's not a magazine.
It's a flagazine. Would you agree to that?
How can you be
the editor of a thing that's all ads for hemorrhoids and whitening your teeth and car washes? Where I don't see an editorial page where it says
in the flagazine.
No, I don't see it in the flagazine. I don't see it.
Is it profitable?
Yes, very.
Okay, yeah, I wonder why.
I guess.
And did you write the restaurant reviews first and then sell the ads, or did you sell the ads first and then write the restaurant reviews?
Buzz, that's a great question.
Sure
I think the latter of the two.
Uh-huh.
All right, hold on a second. Let me see. Rob, I know we got a break, so the next one will be short. I think we have a follow-up on this. LA, turn your radio down. Is this information about this guy or the magazine?
I'm sorry?
You're on the air. Second
No, Mike. Actually, Mike, he's one of my senior AEs is online. But actually, I'm the president and publisher. I wanted to put together a special section in our February issue regarding Don and Mike's favorite places to go eat.
No, thanks.
Wait, hold it. Do we have to be honest? Does it have to be real?
Yes.
But Mike,
what if we made up the restaurant?
Is this? But do you have one?
Or just our own amusement?
But do you have one? Okay, maybe. But do you have one of these things? Is yours like this? One of these things that people just get in the mailbox and you go, "Oh, this is garbage." I mean, what's your publication?
I'm sorry. Is this Don?
Okay, forget it. Print guys, blowing the show down.
No, listen.
Second guy who I think runs a similar magazine.
No, actually it's not. Actually, I'm the president.
Magazine.
Flagazine.
First of all, you guys read the magazine, so obviously, you know, you guys are one of the readers. But what I wanted to do, Don and Mike, is actually put together a special section for...
Oh, eat me. Both of you just eat me. It's not a magazine.
Yeah, they were trying to get a little free promotion there, yeah.
This is something that you get at Safeway when you're walking out of Safeway that they shove in your bag and you go.
I sure like Flagazine though.
Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll come right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Also,
I've got the dirt.
This big program, Don and Mike, who are down at WJFK. I actually know these guys.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to dish dirt on you?
I'm hoping they've forgotten. So anyway, they'll be with us. Plus, we're going to include your phone calls, and it's T-shirt Tuesday. Where's the T-shirt?
Do they know that seriously that you were like the next David Letterman, that they handpicked you and they gave you a daytime show, but then they found out you were a bit too caustic for blue-haired ladies during the day?
We want you to know, Steve, we are rooting for you, man. We are pulling for you. There's not a day that goes by where we don't want to see you succeed, baby.
So we're not going to talk about butter?
We're out of time.
Hey, Don and Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, goddammit, you're taking us off?
I'd like to have you back, but I think you're not going to... By the way, we should point out that when Don and Mike from WJFK and much of the world were with us just a couple of minutes ago, we had to say goodbye real fast. That's because we have got the very latest in digital equipment, and they run commercials at a certain time, whether we're through talking or not. So
right. Sometimes
that's why we got a little cut off. Sorry. Anyway, it was delightful to have them with us.
The Don and Mike Show. They like their cruelty the way they like their women. Naked. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I never got asked back to that show anyway.
No, I tell you, I think it was a special TV moment. You don't hear that word on networks very often.
Goddamn.
Certainly not news networks.
True. You know. I'll say goddamn about this. We've not given away the digital camera yet that we'll do before the end of the show here.
Wow.
Worth $500, courtesy of the Discovery Channel. Watch MythBusters Friday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on Discovery Channel. And also, just an alert, tonight, the two most popular men in town, Mike and his penis, will be going to the Maxim magazine party.
With the Nigerian Nightmare. Wow.
Single Mike O'Mara. That's right. Poon King, Mike O'Mara,
PK,
will be making an appearance at the Maxim magazine party here in D.C. tonight.
Oh, you think so highly of me.
A tough ticket to find.
Yeah.
You're there, and before you know it, surrounded by lovelies, servicing your every need.
No, I went to one of these things before, and it doesn't work like that. You think so? I mean, I can hope.
The one you went to, I think, was the Super Bowl one.
Yeah, that was nuts.
But that's out of control. This is a local Maxim party.
So you think it'll be better?
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
When we went to that one in Miami, there were people like Gloria Estefan, Sean P. Diddy Combs, all of these real celebrities.
Kirstie Alley was there.
Right. Okay. Well, tonight...
Rob Schneider was there.
Mike.
Pretty interesting celebrity.
Sure. Tonight for the local Maxim party, you're at the Rob Schneider.
No.
Yeah.
Don't compliment me.
Yeah.
You mean tonight I'm the Rob Schneider?
And who's the other name you said before that?
Kirstie Alley. I'm the Kirstie Alley?
I believe you are.
No, I can maybe be the Rob Schneider, but not the Kirstie Alley.
And we'll get the full recap from Mike tomorrow on the show. Plus, I should tell you that we are going to have a lovely lady who won't be at that party tonight. Nancy will be on the show tomorrow. She's very upset.
Yeah, right,
Jim Nance from CBS, very upset
that she was not able to be on the show last week. Yeah. However, when we did the Pick the Pros segment,
yes,
even with Buzz pretending to be Nancy,
yes,
you and I both were 3-2 on the picks.
Okay.
Nancy, 4-1.
Wow.
So technically, Nancy is ahead.
Way to go, Buzz.
Not bad. I'm surprised.
Wow. She is. Okay, here we go. With DJ Spotlight. Now, I got this article. We've talked about it, but we also have the tape from the guy who used to listen to our show and would like some feedback.
Good.
He writes that he was influenced by our show.
Good.
I never ripped you off. I included as an influence. I'll tell you a little bit of what he has to offer. Then we can decide whether we want to devote the segment to giving him constructive criticism and calling him up. And
or mockingly, because this is Mocktober.
Here's what I'm thinking. Either way, what we got to do is spend the $50, the $75, and take out a blind box ad in the trade magazines that said, but now we can't lead guys on saying major market job.
No.
However, we could write free professional evaluation of your DJ tape.
Oh, you'll get takers.
And then they would send us the tapes. And we might get some new tapes like The Maze.
You sure would. And then we can put you could put a little thing in the fine print to say your tape could be aired, and it would be perfectly acceptable.
I don't even think you'd have to do that.
No.
I don't think you'd have to do that. We never did that with the other guys that sent in tapes.
No, never had a problem.
A guy sends a tape to a radio station. Hey, if it works its way on the air, that's the best thing. The problem now is that there's not a lot of disc jockeys that do what we do and what Ron and Fez does.
Then we could make a regular critique segment on the show.
So we don't get the tapes that we used to get. There used to be a box upstairs, and the program director would just say to us, here's a box of tapes.
Right.
And Mike and I would run into the production room and put these things on, trying to find the worst possible disc.
We did. I mean, I think we found the best, but there are more out there. And boy, keep them coming.
So if we get this blind box ad going...
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Here we go. Anyway, here's the beginning of their tape. Okay.
96.5 The Buzz, Kansas City's only alternative, Kenny and Afentra. Afentra's out today.
She's missing a lot today.
Yeah, we're being men. We got a professional escort, Ginger, who's giving away a dream date. Bachelor number one, Damien, is here.
What's up?
Hasn't had it in, what, 2 years?
It's not The Maze.
No. It's like a very, very minor league version of trying to do shock radio.
Yeah.
You know what, Robbie?
Yes.
But rebox that.
You got it.
We'll come back to it in the future. We'll critique him in the future. We'll take out the ad. We'll get some other tapes to play along with.
All right.
But there's really no reason we can't do the DJ Spotlight.
Absolutely.
And again, for the benefit of those of you listening around the country, I'm going to try to give my unbiased opinion on some of the communities that these radio disc jockeys... You know, there's a theme today. Here's the theme. You know, we didn't go on Channel 9, because
right,
even though we'll run Rush Limbaugh off the road on our show, really, we don't need publicity that bad to be interviewed by Channel 9.
No, and it's just something, it left a bad taste in our mouth, the idea of going on TV to, you know, to diss another disc jockey.
It'd be like hypocritical almost, even though we'd be saying the same thing in both places. I mean, why pile on the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Same logic here. Sure, it's got to be great to be in a quality magazine like Northern Virginia Living Top 50 Restaurants.
Don, use your own term. It's a flagazine.
The flagazine, which incidentally I now discovered, does not even appear on newsstands. It has to be direct mailed to your home.
Ah.
And the price of the subscription is zero.
Free.
It comes in the junk mail category.
Most flagazines are free.
So think about the DJ who is approached by the flagazine. This would be a disc jockey even lower on the food chain than you or I called to comment today on the Rush Limbaugh thing.
Right.
These are DJs who have been called by a flagazine, and they said, I'd love to be a part of the spotlight on the town that I live in.
That's right.
And I think you'll find that they're just total pieces of 100% BS that these DJs have written. For instance, Vienna, Virginia. And I know that I run the risk of alienating a lot of our listeners who live in that area, but listen, we do the national show. I'm going to say every city that we broadcast to has a suburb like Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Vienna is just a dirty, not as bad as Fairfax.
Hey,
But just a dirty...
You are funny.
Fairfax is a lovely...
You are the...
A dirty...
We are going to... You know something? Our phones are going to crash today.
Now, and I'm going to tell you about... Now, I have the luxury of knowing
dirty,
areas that I'm going to...
Gang infested.
Take a trip down Route 123 sometime.
I have. I know what you're talking about.
Get right off the Beltway or get right off Route 66. Doesn't matter which way you go. Just go towards Vienna. Around the time that, and Rob is right about this, around the time that everything appears to be tan, around the time that all of the buildings look like the way Taco Bell's originally looked. Remember when Taco Bell's really did look like...
Little Adobe Huts.
Adobe Huts. Mm-hmm. You'll know you're in Vienna.
The problem with Vienna, and believe me, I know, because I lived there for a long time.
Right.
It's the town festival and what it incorporates into the town. It's called Viva Vienna. And these are all people. They shut down the town, the street, Route 123, big street.
Right.
And they all take great pride in the fact that they're in Vienna and they love Vienna.
Yeah.
They're like the anti-Sacramento.
Here's the thing. If you live there, you aspire to get out. If you don't live there and you drive there, you thank God that you live where you live. And if you're there for any extended period of time, and by this I mean two or three cycles of the stoplight, you're immediately thinking, is there a Save the Children program in this area? Can I find a kid for 38 cents a day?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. And I don't claim the knowledge of Vienna that you guys, but you both live a lot closer to Vienna than I do, and I never get to Vienna, but I used to have a psychotherapist that was in Vienna.
Yeah.
Who did me wrong, by the way.
Okay.
And you know what? Doesn't Vienna have a lot of expensive homes, Don?
Yes.
It may, but the part I'm talking about where there are the...
Are you talking about the urban sprawl? I mean, the suburban sprawl street?
I mentioned...
Just 123.
123.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay, so that's my thumbnail sketch of Vienna. Yeah. There's dirt under that thumbnail, and I mentioned that so around the country you could picture one of your own crappy communities that you know... Except for the people who live there. If you said to somebody, oh, Vienna, they go, yeah, right. You know what else starts with the letter V? P-U.
Okay.
So they go to Chili Amar.
Hey!
Who works at the Jack Diamond Morning Show.
Yes.
And who am I to say? I think I'm a handsome man. I have to tell the truth. And I don't want to be a faggot, but like the word that comes to mind when I look at you is Adonis.
Thank you. Right back at you.
So who are we to say, but I'm looking here at a picture of Chili Amar, and I want to tell you, girl's not missed a meal in her life. She's not missed a meal in her life. As a matter of fact, borderline one of those people that you'd see at the airport, and maybe you'd go over to the dude and say, profile. Okay? So, she's got a lot going for her.
Okay.
Plus, she works for Jack Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who, in this infomercial, this flagazine, has been chosen to speak on Vienna. And now, Vienna, Virginia, by Chili Amar. Vienna joins McLean at the intersection of Shopping and Business Central, Tyson's Corner. Chili Amar of Mix 107's Jack Diamond Morning Show, a lifelong resident of Vienna, speaks of it in glowing terms of a bygone era. She describes the charming Halloween parade with children and adults lining the streets for a good view. Historic train tracks that run through the center of town. A nearby bike trail with an old caboose.
Beginning to see your point.
Situated just off it, she proudly recounts Viva Vienna, a local festival. There are fireworks on the 4th of July.
All right.
And a community of residents that truly value those traditions. Chili Amar knows the great spots in town to... grab a bite. She claims you can't visit Vienna without indulging in Vienna beer and hot dog. It's a real joint. You see people there from all walks of life. It captures Vienna's diversity. Cafe Deluxe gets her nod for best happy hour spot. And... the Amphora, a 24-hour Greek and Mediterranean restaurant is the cure for 3 a.m. munchies. She names the Greek grill on Maple Avenue as most authentic. Lest you think Vienna's been forgotten by time, Chili Amar notes that her favorite aspects of Vienna include the maintenance and care of its appearance. She loves the economic and cultural diversity of Vienna and its proximity to many local conveniences rounds out its appeal. It's apparent that that's what makes Northern Virginia a unique place to live, and the loyalty that its residents feel to the neighborhoods. This remarkable diversity is not taken for granted. We're proud of our status as Viennans, but even more proud of our status as citizens of our community.
Wow. Did she write that, or did somebody write it for her?
Well, I believe, if we have time for one more, I believe that you'll hear that these are written. I think that as far as the class goes of DJs, she would get an A. As far as just sucking up to the collective.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's sugar-coated.
And let me just...
That's doling out the sweet tooth stuff.
Let me just say, to those of you calling now from Vienna, please don't be like Sacramento people. Don't do this in our own backyard. Get the fact it's a bit.
Right.
Okay? Don't call, hey, Al?
No, it's AJ. King of
AJ. AJ, there's no reason to call and stick up for Vienna.
We're not. We're doing what we do.
There's no reason.
The only problem is Rob jumping off the Vienna.
Listen, you're as bad as the people that call and say Sacramento's not that bad.
Rob, you went to Mass in high school. Come on, have some respect, son.
All right, now you know what?
I mean,
wait, hold on.
Richmond Spider.
I think he's being lighthearted, too. I think this guy's not really.
No, Vienna is beautiful. Vienna is.
No, it's not. Goodbye.
Beautiful. It's
Rob,
beautiful.
Rob, you know what?
Enjoy the skyline.
This springs from Rob, though, because Rob, one of the things I have heard you say since I've known you, you talk
all
bad
right,
about
Vienna. Let me move on then to the next one.
Okay, good.
It's a bad town.
I don't know what. Do you have an irrational hatred of Vienna?
We're up against the clock.
I do.
We're going to move to the city we broadcast from, Fairfax.
Fairfax, Don. Yes, Fairfax.
You know what Fairfax is? Vienna with a fresh coat of paint. That's all it is. I mean, if you like car dealerships, but not name brand car dealerships.
If you like courthouses.
The kind where it says, two guys, cheap cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
Or if you're a fan of Anita's.
Ah, yes, fantastic.
I am.
Hey, now wait a minute. Fairfax has a Hooters.
Okay, Mike.
Perfect.
Slow down.
Yeah, slow down.
And Buzz,
I'll try to calm down.
Buzz, slow down, too.
Okay.
Don't you be like those people.
I won't. I'll try.
But we're talking to somebody else.
And, hey, we're talking about our home.
That's right.
So.
That where the radio station is.
Jessica,
where you live here.
Right. Jessica Cash from Oldies Big Thing 100 Radio.
Oldies Thing.
They asked her because she wanted to be in the flagazine.
Uh-huh.
And she said, Fairfax, Virginia shares Alexandria's rich heritage of early settlement. And only in recent decades that growth and development in Fairfax have skyrocketed status as a major D.C. suburb. Radio personality Jessica Cash of Murphy and Cash Morning Show moved to Fairfax 3 years ago. Currently training for a marathon, Cash was drawn to the unique combination of, quote, great parks and paths and city all working together. By day,
this is great stuff.
By day, Cash is found running or biking along the Fairfax County Parkway or around Burke Lake, which offers a fully shaded 5-mile path around its perimeter.
Jesus, what is this, a stalker map?
The park is one of her favorite places to spend time. An avid golfer, Cash takes advantage of the 18-hole par 3 golf course. She also likes the rowboat rentals, fishing, camping, carousel, and picnic areas.
Wait a minute. Camping. Where do you camp in Fairfax?
To name a few of them.
I got a big yard.
Where do you go camping in Fairfax?
Recreation.
Come on.
At night, she's likely enjoying one of Fairfax's many restaurants.
Here we go.
Or a movie and live music at nearby Reston Town Center.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just stop this as someone who lives in the area and say, see, it's not fair
if you're writing about Fairfax, not that Reston, a planned community, is any better, and that's where I spend a lot of my time, mm-hmm. but what you're doing is you're mooching here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Fairfax, but you're writing that you're going to Reston.
She's cheating, yes.
Right. Reston is a planned community.
Yes, okay?
And it deserves its own summary, which I'd be glad to give some.
Yeah, do you have a better chance of camping in Reston than in Fairfax?
I never knew about that. Mike, Jessica Cash eagerly anticipates the newly planned Fairfax Square, which will boast an ice skating rink, restaurants, and great shopping.
Where's that going to be?
Quote, it's just a pleasant, fun, well-rounded place to live and raise your family, she says.
Okay.
Quote, I use the word exciting many times in my description of Fairfax.
Yeah, so do I.
Exciting for what already exists and for what is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's fantastic.
Ain't that jive?
Jesus.
Ain't that just the worst?
My God, that's like eating pure sugar.
And, you know, again, don't take it personal, Vienna or Fairfax.
No.
It's just, you know, it's disc jockeys.
Rob is flipping off somebody.
It's disc jockeys that are so desperate, they can't be in a magazine or a flyer, so they're in a flagazine.
Right.
And I don't even know where Holland Hills is. But it's where Jim London lives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Big open land.
And without reading the entire diatribe, I'll cut right to the best part.
Good.
His favorite restaurant is on South Washington Street. Trattoria Di Franco. Jim London goes for spectacular Italian food and listens to Franco, the owner, serenade his customers with opera. Off the beaten path, Jim enjoys the Honolulu restaurant on Telegraph Road, the best-kept secret in Alexandria, according to Jim. With neon seashells on its walls, he says the family-owned and run Honolulu serves Chinese food that is, quote, nothing short of spectacular.
Neon seashells.
Yeah, that works. There you go. That's it.
Any other restaurants in there?
Yeah. There are in his part. There
in
are
his part.
There are more restaurants in his part.
A little more, please.
But he do say. Well, no, we got a break.
Okay.
Because we're absolutely up on the clock. We're not done with this. Okay. We can come back to this DJ spotlight at some time in the future.
Sure.
Not to mention the guy with the DJ tape that we didn't even play.
Yeah.
Here's his brother on the phone. Mike.
John and Mike, I'm a huge fan. How's it going?
Now, how are you?
Let me double check here, because I didn't give any names. What is your brother's first name?
His first name is Kenny.
What's his last name?
Holland.
That's your brother.
Wow.
That is my brother. He's in Overland Park, Kansas.
Right. Well, we got the tape. We don't have time today, but at some point...
I'll do anything if you guys critique that tape on the air.
All right,
I'll do anything at all.
Call your brother and tell him that very soon he'll be on the Don and Mike DJ Spotlight.
Yep, we will be looking and listening to Mr. Holland's opus.
And tell him,
guys,
is
Mr. I really
Holland's
appreciate it.
Anus. And make sure you tell him that when we call him, we're going to want to find his favorite restaurants in Overland Park, Kansas.
Yes, very exciting.
Nothing short of spectacular.
Nothing short of spectacular.
I believe it's Chipotle.
No. Nothing is finer than getting some of the Chinese food spectacular, taking your OxyContin and sprinkling it on your Boo Boo Guy pan.
Jim enjoys sitting around his house naked and playing with the pool cues.
This is Rush Limbaugh. Mentioning that it's Mike O'Mara that's bringing up the Chris Farley pool cue story today.
Seemed appropriate.
All right, see you later.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See you later.
All right, then.
Wow, that's a lot of radio stuff we've had on today's show.
Yeah. Very, very radio heavy today.
We need to just clean our palates here.
Uh-huh.
When we come back, I think we're going to step aside. I think we're going to step aside and turn it over to two pros.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to get the names right. I'm doctor. Am I the doctor or the lawyer?
I've got it written down for just such an emergency.
For JTJ,
hoping so.
Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman,
attorney at law.
Right, okay.
We'll let them come in here. And
Who doesn't like Jew to Jew?
That's coming up in the next segment.
Jew to Jew.
Very good.
But first, Kenny. Kenny, the DJ?
Yes, this is me.
Kenny, hello, Kenny.
How are you, Kenny?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
What is happening today?
We're getting into our Jew-to-Jew thing. Are you the disc jockey with the tape?
Yes, sir.
We'll get to it soon, son.
All right, thank you very much.
Kenny,
you guys are the best.
Kenny Holland.
You guys rule.
Are you Jewish?
No.
We'll never play the tape.
My wife's a half-Jew.
Well, that might give you some credit, but I wish she was 100%.
My father-in-law is a Jew attorney in D.C.
Well, you're getting better, Kenny. You're getting better.
I'll convert.
Hold on. Am I the doctor or am I the lawyer?
You are Dr. Donald Goldstein, and I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law. And frankly, I think you ought to be able to memorize that instead of constantly having to be reminded.
What are you, Meshuggah?
Thank you, Kenny.
No problem.
Goodbye, Kenny.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, Kenny.
Shalom.
How dare you? How dare you?
What a nice young man. He's a good boy.
We'll come right back with a brand new Jew-to-Jew.
Well, I think that would be fine.
That's wonderful. And please, no more calls from Vienna.
No. Okay. Enough with that.
That's all we're getting, is calls from Vienna.
Well, that's because they're probably concerned that you made some disparaging comments about the place that they live. You can understand that.
I'm a doctor.
You're a doctor.
I'm a doctor, and I'll tell you, there's sick people in Vienna, Virginia.
Well, you're a doctor, but if you're a doctor, why are you playing real estate agent?
If you're a lawyer.
I am an attorney, yes.
A lawyer, an ambulance chaser.
Oh, that's so inappropriate. Now, why are you becoming so hostile?
Is that how you got that mark on your forehead? Did you run into another ambulance today as it stopped in its tracks?
Do you want me to mention how many insurance companies refuse to cover you as far as the malpractice based on your botched surgeries? You don't want me to go there, do you?
Do we want to talk about the lost cases that you've had, my friend?
I think there's not an attorney that practices that could claim a 100% success
rate. Let me say, it is very delicate to put the breast implant in a woman. And I am a trained surgeon. I am, frankly, godlike. And when one of those bosoms accidentally explodes, I go to my friend, the attorney.
You are glossing over the fact that that woman had a 4-inch by 4-inch hump on the top of her shoulder.
All right. Who showed up to the courtroom reeking of something that I cannot even mention right now?
Can I share with you one thing?
Counselor.
Can I share with you one thing?
Counselor.
Will you allow me to do that?
Counselor.
I was in a great deal of pain after a surgery not performed by you, and I was using it as medical marijuana.
And what about the large portion of OxyContin I found?
Mr. Jim London has no problem with my representation.
All right. And who did he sue?
He sued
me. He sued
the preparation age.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, look what I found. Grandpa's old radio. Oh, wouldn't it be grand to gather round and have a listen?
Well, turn something on. I'm starting to think.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This is ghetto-licious.
They like whole, not whole. Don and Mike.
All right, thanks, dude, Walker.
Let's see. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. I was listening to your talks earlier about the suburbs here in the D.C. area. What's your opinion? What's the best place to be?
There's another guy that just don't get it.
We're just joking around.
You just don't get it.
I wholeheartedly agree with you about Vienna. You drive through there.
I think really I can answer this guy. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you should understand one thing. No place is the best place to be. It is best simply to not exist. There you have it.
Or Waldorf.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
Thanks for stealing my idea.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks.
It's always Waldorf with you.
Jesus. Speaking of Jesus.
Yes.
He was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready for Jew to Jew.
Very good. I'm certainly in the mood.
Let's see if I've got...
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
And I've got the music, and Well, we're going to call the man up now, and he's standing by to go on the air.
Good.
And the buzz will give us the introduction.
Ready.
So let me dial the number up here. This is a live interview.
Yes, we're going to be talking about something today that you'll find very fun. I think you'll enjoy this
segment.
When
he picks up the phone, Rob, why don't you tell him about going on the air?
Okay.
Do you remember your name?
I am Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Like I have to forget?
Hi.
Like I would forget? I've forgotten before.
What?
Is he ready?
He's ready.
All right, as soon as I press the button down, I'll give Buzz the cue for the music and the Vishmelta music. And then the
Vishmelta?
And are you ready, Buzz?
Yeah, very good.
And here we go. And...
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew, a program by Jews for Jews. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Thank you, Shalom Buzz.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
And thank you, Michael Hoffman. And hi, this is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and you're listening to Jew to Jew. And we've got a very... very special program for you today. Hope you enjoy it.
I know a lot of you are sick of this Rush Limbaugh nonsense.
Yes, it's all over, and we'd like to go into something a little bit lighter for you today.
And the Kobe Bryant issue.
Many controversies.
How do we lighten the mood?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could lighten the mood by looking at your recent record in the courtroom.
Now, I don't understand why you are attacking me right out of the box.
That I believe you attacked me first.
I think, really, what we want to talk about is a very nice, lighthearted subject where we're going to have a candy segment.
I love
you
candy.
Come out, you come right out and go for the juggler. I'm not going to stoop into the gutter and play this kind of parlor game with
you. I don't see why you wouldn't stoop into the gutter. That's where your business cards are.
All right. If we're talking about...
Are there more lawyer jokes or are there more doctor jokes on the internet?
I understand. But if we're going to be personal and make disparaging comments, I will bring up old wounds. And you don't want to go down that road as far as your terrible liposuction stories.
That was faulty.
Before the technique was perfected.
That was faulty machinery. Tried, never convicted. Look it up.
Well,
Dr. Donald Goldstein.
That is all well and good, but you know you caused...
Humans and animals. I'd like to point that out. I'm a doctor. I'm a veterinarian.
Well, no, I don't like to...
And I'm an esteemed karaoke...
I will tell you...
On the weekend.
The liposuction was performed on me, and... You know the scars are still there,
and my
eyes look deformed. Is what they do; they look totally deformed.
The machine that is in question, my friend.
Blame the equipment. Blaming the equipment will not make my thighs come back to normal shape.
Your fat being sucked out of your hind quarters jammed the internal mechanism.
Oh, now you're blaming my body. Like, my fat is the same as everyone else.
You came to me, and you said, hey, Doc, do you remember when I fixed that thing for you? And
of course,
I said...
Which I hope you showed absolutely no gratitude. And I don't like to argue with you, but I will tell you right now...
I had only had one glass of wine that evening. When the officer pulled myself over, now, thank goodness I was in the car.
And thank goodness you contacted me, and we moved by that, and I thought that I did a stellar job at that time.
I was in the car with various members of the Washington Redskins family, and...
Can I simply say one thing?
The fact that Sonny Jurgensen was in the car helped more than anything...
Can we be done with this?
...that you could possibly throw out.
May I say that your enthusiasm for an out-of-court settlement speaks volumes. Large volumes. That's the last thing I want to say. You pick on me, I'm going to pick on you.
You broke my machine. You broke my brand new liposuction machine. I'd like to point out, everybody...
You're spewing out half-truths.
It's 3 minutes after the hour. Dr. Donald Goldstein, and incidentally, I am one of the people that is consulting on the brand new ABC show, Extreme Makeovers. You will not see me on the show, but I'm there. Look for the name in the credits. That's tonight on the American Broadcasting Company.
And, of course, I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and I've sent several tapes to Court TV, and I am very optimistic that we are going to be looking at some sort of opportunity in the future.
Watch the credits tonight on the regular channel, not a cable channel.
You're listening to Jew to Jew.
I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
I am Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
I'm being joined by Richard Belsky. Am I pronouncing that correct?
I believe it's Belsky.
Belsky or Belsky? Richard.
Whiskey. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there, now.
Did you say it's Belsky?
Belsky.
Is that a Jewish name?
No, unfortunately, I'm not.
Well, unfortunately. Once again, we've got our research department that has not paid attention, but that's not why we have you on.
Jews,
today.
Gentiles, all are welcome on Jew to Jew. I'm Donald Goldstein.
I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and we're going to talk about candy today.
And Pez,
I wanted to talk about lipo.
And
I have a little bit I need removed, but okay, I wanted to talk about candy. Okay.
This man is a man who plays with children's toys, Pez, candy, dispensers.
The popularity of Pez has always intrigued me.
The question is Pez a kosher food?
Excellent question. Is it kosher, Richard?
Of course they make kosher Pez.
They make kosher Pez?
Why wouldn't they?
What are the flavors?
There's lemon, grape.
Are you aware
orange.
That perhaps the most famous Jew of all time, next to Jesus, is, of course, the wonderful Jerry Seinfeld? And are you aware that on one of the episodes of his hit TV show, Seinfeld, he featured an episode involving a Pez dispenser?
Well, you are a font of knowledge regarding Pez. I will tell you my favorite Pez was the character that was on one of the Warner Brothers cartoons that had the big mustache. The name escapes me. He had a hat and a big mustache, and he had two...
Was it red hair?
Was it Yosemite Sam?
Yosemite Sam.
Oh, he was marvelous. I really love the way that you put the characters on top of the candy, and you combine two delightful children's things into one.
When I was growing up in the Bronx, I was good friends with Larry Zeiger. You may know him as Larry King.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play stickball together.
I remember with Sandy Koufax.
One of our best friends was Sandy Koufax.
Yes, of course.
And my question would be, how come there was never a Sandy Koufax Pez dispenser?
Are there baseball Pez dispensers, Mr. Belsky?
Yeah, there was a baseball glove, but Pez does not do real people.
What about someone like Jackie Mason? Is there a Jackie Mason Pez dispenser?
No.
What about Billy Crystal?
How about Myron Cohen?
That would be good. Actually, I think they should have a Dr. Don Pez dispenser.
I should adore an Alan Greenspan Pez dispenser.
That would be politically correct, and it would be a moneymaker.
I think it would be terrific.
So tell me something, sir. As you've heard already from our dialogue, although we kid each other, we are champions of industry. I am a world-renowned doctor, and my friend is a world-renowned attorney.
And we always love to see innovative and creative ways to, indeed, make money.
However, I must inquire past the money-making aspect of this. What is a grown man, I'm assuming over 30, collecting children's toys? If you could be so kind as to answer.
Well, how is this for an investment? You could buy a Pez dispenser for a dollar, and someday it may be worth several thousand.
That's
very good.
Well, you've certainly, my ears have perked up.
I got your attention on that one tonight, gentlemen.
You've piqued our interest.
Yeah.
I would love to know, what would be a Pez dispenser that would be worth
the most
money?
Well,
What's the Mickey Mantle of Pez dispensers? What's the Superman of Pez dispensers?
What people like is...
Barbra Streisand?
The Barbra Streisand? Well, there is one with a big nose, of course.
I'm sorry.
Not funny.
No, not funny.
Not funny at all.
No, Barbara's good. I'm just teasing.
No, you're gone.
I'm sorry. No,
you're gone.
You're gone.
You're gone.
I'm gone.
You're gone. Hold on.
Toodaloo ass.
Hold on, please. You know, there's no place.
I'm going down this road. He was a complete A-hole.
There's no need to use that Meshuggah language.
No, to hell with him.
Hey, would you stop that?
I'm sorry.
Would you stop that?
I'm upset, and I'm upset with you.
And why are you upset with me?
Because you attacked me right out of the chute today.
I was doing a banter. Right. Like Regis and Kelly, I was doing
you've
a banter.
Always said, you've always said that I had to develop a thicker skin, and I will try.
You're a great lawyer.
Thank you.
You've helped me out of how many of those misappropriations
and
have you gotten me?
I will return the favor by telling you that you are an exemplary physician.
I want to just say something right now. I know we're on the air, so you can take this as kidding. When you're in a slander suit, when you've made the wrong incision on a patient, you've been working tremendously long hours. When you know a man who knows how to get things done, vis-a-vis, pay off the right people. You could go.
Now you. What are you doing?
I'm doing humor.
It's not humor.
Humor.
You are bringing up something
humor.
That is very important.
People don't think you actually paid off a judge.
Well, what if you say it? They're going. Someone out there is going to believe it.
When the woman sued me for the exploding breast implant,
I am very upset. I'm livid.
I'm thrilled.
I'm beclaimed.
I'm thrilled. Is the guest still there?
I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Engineer, is the guest still there? Hello, is this line still open?
It's still open.
I am...
This is Michael Hoffman,
yes,
and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Hold on, please. Our producer needs to speak to you.
Sure.
Shalom, Michael. Get us... Please, just get us out of here. It's very...
Go ahead, Michael. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Jew to Jew with your host, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Jew to Jew is brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates. Join us next time for Jew to Jew on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Thank you, Michael.
Sure.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to collect our thoughts.
Very good.
We're going to come back, and we're going to be discussing actually something I think you'll be very interested in, insurance rates.
Very good. Very exciting. That'll be wonderful. We know that you know intimately about those.
Are you still mad at me?
A bit.
Don't be mad.
I'm sorry.
Don't be mad.
All right.
Don't be mad.
We'll smoke the peace pipe during the commercials.
Whatever. Whatever. To quote non-Jew Charles Broyhill. Listen, it's been very... the caller's still there. The caller... I'm going to put the caller... Hold on. Rob?
Well, what we normally do is we have Rob Stein ask him how it went.
There you go.
What are we doing?
There you go.
I'm confused.
I left him open too long.
I'm sorry.
Didn't know how to get out of it.
They're very serious, and I'm not sure that we can't resolve this and perhaps have you on another time, but right now, particularly Michael, is very upset. I can see him through glass right now, and oh my, yeah, he's
awesome. Tell me it's the worst Jew to Jew we've ever had. Worst episode.
This is, you know, it's really, I mean, sometimes interviews go good and sometimes they go bad, but this is the first time someone has taken it down this unfortunate road.
What happens is this type of problem will occur when the guest is trying to be funny.
Thank you for your time, and good luck with your candy.
Bye then.
The stereotyping comes out.
Bye then. All right, there you go.
Oh, my God.
You do love us, the Jew to Jew.
I do.
And Robbie, what did he have to say?
When I picked up the phone, he was lighthearted, thinking that it was a bit.
Uh-huh.
But by the time he was hanging up, he was remorseful.
Good. He went like Rush. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, Pez Dispenser. Pez
Dispenser.
Shalom.
And there's a lot of this that we didn't even get to. That's weird. The guy has written this magazine called Pez Collector News, and it has ads in the back, personal ads. One man's ad reads, I'm 6'6 and wear a size 17 shoe. And you know what they say about men with big feet? Big Pez collections.
Huh?
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
He made it up.
There he is. Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, Doctor.
What's your lead story?
Today, a rush to resignation and a rush to rehab.
Now, really, you got more details than we had when we covered this whenever we came on.
I think
3 hours ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Lush Rimbaugh.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Lush Rimbaugh.
Let's try to give away something right now.
All right.
The Casio Exilum EX3 digital camera.
Exipoli.
I know what you were doing. You're doing some Big Al there.
Absolutely. Our good friend Alan Goodman.
Don, Mike, Candy. Friday at 9, 8 Central, only on the Discovery Channel. Win the Casio digital camera first. Worth $500 now. Call her 1-800-877-365-3636.
All right.
We'll be right back. Oh, Mike, that was very
professional.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Yeah.
Cleansing your ears with a verbal enema. Don and Mike.
Ever Buzz's new show, Buzz, brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure. Performance enhancer it is.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested, Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax 1-888. Try VMAX.
All right.
All right, let's see. Should have mentioned this. You should have known this up front. You had to have been listening to the whole show today.
I think most people probably realize that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, radio gods.
Hi,
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. What's your name?
Excellent. Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Right on. Live 105. Oh, and Mike and I are going to that Ravens game the first weekend in November.
Very exciting.
We're going down on the field with the owner's kid.
Excellent. Very cool.
So we'll see you guys in Baltimore that weekend.
All right.
Hope you've listened to the whole show today. This is a hard one.
Oh, no.
Really hard one.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I tell you what. Rather than make it hard, I'll make it easy. Approximately how many pills, when Buzz was reading the account, has Rush Limbaugh taken over the last 4 years?
4,000.
Bingo, baby!
All right.
Sweeter. See, I was going to ask him if it was, you know, to name one of them, OxyContin. I can't remember them. Buzz wrote them down on a sign for us.
OxyContin and Hydrocodone.
Well, congratulations. You won a Casio Exilum EX-S3 digital camera from Mythbusters. Friday, tomorrow, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the Discovery Channel. Entertain your brain. Camera valued at $500.
Very cool.
Thanks for listening to the show on Live 105.
You guys are the best.
And make sure, you know, I don't know if anybody's done this. Make sure someone please calls Bill and Thrill to tell them thanks for having that guy call the show the other day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bill and Thrill,
The Modell guy, the Ravens guy.
Dave, yeah. Terrific friends of our show, and they've really done a great job in promoting this program, and right back at them. And you've listened to, I haven't had the pleasure, and I want to listen to their show.
I like their show. You know, my money, what you do, you got the station in Washington, the station in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You put them on in the midday, and then you leave Ron and Fez on at night.
Right.
And you make the same station for Washington and Baltimore.
I agree. Yeah,
and that's your winning lineup right there.
Yeah, amen.
But, you know, who listens to me? They're too busy paying fines.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
And now with more about Rush Limbaugh, here is Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Rush Limbaugh has resigned from his ESPN job after saying Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb is overrated because the media wants a black quarterback to succeed.
Gosh, I wonder how Channel 9 got through their coverage of this story without coming down and whoring us out for a soundbite.
They probably didn't even put it in their top five stories.
Never mind McNabb's victory on Sunday or his all-pro credentials. Limbaugh says his comments were not racially motivated. He says they were directed at the media, but he says it's made his co-workers at ESPN uncomfortable. His resignation was accepted immediately.
Yeah, right.
But a Limbaugh doesn't change its spots. Quote, all this has become the tempest that it is because I must have been right about something. McNabb says he understands Limbaugh is what he is, but he's disappointed the other ESPN guys didn't challenge Limbaugh. Quoting McNabb, I wouldn't have cared if it was the cameraman.
So that's his logic. He's saying, I'm right, and that's why people are being upset. What a moron.
Yeah, but listen, to boil it down again, whether he's right or wrong, I wouldn't have fired him. I said this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I said it today. You hire a guy like him to say controversial things. I think the problem is, with those guys on ESPN, they didn't know how to react to it. Nobody there had the balls because they don't know the live fire of doing, you know, not to compare what we do to television.
Yeah.
But on television, even on those shows like the Fox show, man, it's scripted out. And if you don't know that, they say, okay, now, Terry, you're going to make a joke about Howie.
Right.
Howie, you're going to make some joke about Terry being bald. Then you're going to look at the camera, too, and JB's going to read this.
Oh, they have a very tight framework of the way it goes.
Same at ESPN. Well, you got Rush Limbaugh saying this thing, and rather than react as they normally would.
They're waiting for their next cue.
Yeah, the ESPN guys are looking for a way out of it. It's like, uh-oh, we've got this guy who said something that's controversial. We can't challenge him on it.
Did you see it?
I saw the replay on ESPN.
I haven't seen it, and so I can't speak with
the story. I saw the replay.
Was it awkward silence that followed this comment that he made, or what?
Yes, and I'll give credit. The only guy that actually said anything to Rush Limbaugh was Tom Jackson, who said what I thought was the most salient point of all. The right on, he said, it's not a black or white issue. Donovan McNabb has won as quarterback for the Eagles.
Right.
You should take the color out of it.
Right.
That you can't say.
So, it wasn't an angry response, right? It was. I mean,
no, he was agitated, but the other three guys, Michael Irvin and Chris Berman,
just sat there and sat on their hands.
Steve Young just sat there.
Oh, okay.
But that then leading into the
film, seems to me when you read that statement from ESPN or from Rush Limbaugh, my coworkers weren't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got in his face about it, obviously. Yeah. Somebody got pissed off about it.
And I don't like defending Rush Limbaugh, but that's what they hired him to do.
Right.
They didn't hire him because he's so super knowledgeable about football.
Yeah.
They hired him because he's the guy that they've heard, you know, what do you think you're getting when you hire that guy?
Mm-hmm.
So he says stupid stuff. He says offensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You call him in and you say, Rush, that was stupid. Don't do that again.
Right.
And then you put him back on the air.
But now he's gone.
He's gone. And then there's the pills.
And yes. Because of this controversy, that puts the spotlight on another controversy involving Rush Limbaugh.
Exactly. Limbaugh's apparently already gotten a taste of his own medicine. He's being investigated.
Hey.
For allegedly buying thousands of addictive painkillers from a black market drug ring. So says the National Enquirer in the new edition out today, and the story has since been confirmed by real newspapers as well. They got the info from his former housekeeper. She says she should know. She says she's the person who delivered the pills to Limbaugh for 4 years. 42-year-old Wilma Klein says Rush was hooked on OxyContin, Lorset, and hydrocodone. And went through detox twice because of those addictions. Enough pills, she says, quote, to kill an elephant, never mind a man. She says he hid the pills under his mattress so wife Marta wouldn't find them.
Wow.
The housekeeper says she wore a wire for the cops during her last two deliveries, which occasionally occurred in a Denny's parking lot.
Oh, my God. So this is the real deal.
Where the food
that's
is.
That's what we've been trying to tell you all day. That
whoa.
She says she was scared because he'd patted her down. Rush had patted her down for a wire before. Now, the story was not timed to coincide with Rush's ESPN controversy. The Enquirer had already gone to press with it, and the investigation did not target Rush. His name just came up as authorities investigated a Florida drug ring they were looking into anyway.
Now, this is why
Limbaugh has a home there.
I knew Buzz had this on the news. This was something that happened earlier today.
Right.
The housekeeper knew all this. We don't want to rain on Buzz's parade. We don't want to ruin the news when we come on at 3. But this is now, you understand why he said even more than ever.
This is definitely blowing the other thing out of the water.
If he had come on his radio show today, which he did not, or when he spoke at the National Association of Broadcasters, and you are looking at the poster boy for this. When you F up, you just say, I'm accountable. I did it.
Accept personal responsibility.
There's some problem here. I'm going to work on it. And then you say whatever you say. You know, what I said was, if it ever happens again, you know, I'm gone.
Right.
I'm gone. My family will leave me.
Are you talking about the Donovan McNabb thing?
No, I'm talking about the drug thing.
Right, yeah. Okay.
The Donovan McNabb thing. That's the cost of doing business.
I also think if he laid low on the Donovan McNabb issue, he wasn't the peacock about that, which, you know, being stupid.
And I told you, I was listening to him yesterday. I told Mike for the show today. I think he got fired from the ESPN job.
Because
when I was listening to him yesterday, his whole show was, I'm not wrong.
Right.
I am right when I said that. You know, rather than just pull back.
He can't do that.
Right. Just pull back.
That act is so based on never admitting you're wrong.
Let the storm ride over you. Now,
I mean, do guys like that, do the Rush Limbaughs, do the Bill O'Reillys, do they ever say, I'm wrong?
No.
I don't think they do.
Absolutely not.
No, but the point is, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or us or anybody else, you're hired to do that. You're hired to get a reaction. So he got a reaction. I'm talking about the pill thing, which I predict is going to totally, totally obscure
the Donovan McNabb.
Oh, yeah. Pill thing might very well, I mean, you might not hear him anymore.
So the advice there would be, first day, and I come from an experience with this, first day, first chance. Get your big fat ass behind the microphone and say the truth, say what you're feeling. If you were wrongly accused, say so.
Rush did issue a statement today. Tell me if you hear any personal accountability in this. In the statement, Rush said that he is unaware of any investigation, but will cooperate if he's questioned.
Unaware, but aware enough to pat down his housekeeper.
Yeah, well, she's wearing the wire. Yeah. Now, we move on to, and Buzz, I saved this until now. Earlier, I was telling you that I was in this chat thing with my disc jockey friends talking about this. And I mentioned that one of the guys said, well, maybe he got hooked on these pills, given the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he got hooked on them when he was going through the hearing thing.
Yeah, because he had all that hearing stuff. And
which we
thought was a scam.
Right, well... Mm-hmm. This other guy says, no.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you take enough of this stuff, it'll cause you to lose your hearing. And now, courtesy of a person who shall go unnamed in the radio business, if you go to LosAngelesTimes.com, the headline is, the story came out September 10th, misuse of pain drug linked to hearing loss.
Wow.
And you got to do a search on LosAngelesTimes.com, put in pain drug and hearing loss, and you'll see that it mentions the stuff Rush Limbaugh allegedly had been taking 4,000 pills of. Because it's Vicodin is a part of the stuff, right, Buzz?
Right. Yeah, that's the hydrocodone.
Okay, and this is why again I'm thinking if this guy, worst case scenario, if the whole hearing thing was because of the pills,
right.
And if this is all going to come out eventually, put your finger in the dike right now.
And get some people, hopefully, around him that can control the damage on this situation. But the problem is, whenever you're a guy like a Rush Limbaugh that preaches from the mountaintop, and preaches morality all the time, that's what's going to make it tougher for him.
But even if you're Rush Limbaugh, if you just come down from that mountaintop just to say to people...
You can look at the people of history that have not taken that advice, and they usually end up in more trouble. You could not, and I know you speak from experience, you can't let this thing go on. You bite the bullet, you come out, you admit your wrongdoing, and get it done quickly with the advice of a good attorney.
Yeah. And may I recommend...
Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Yeah. And Rush, if you're having the problem with the pills, my name is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
Bingo, baby.
We've been hearing for months that Michael Jackson's expensive taste have finally caught up with his income.
Hey!
So it's interesting he's become friends with a Florida businessman who's been linked with organized crime. Reputed mobster Al Malnick has been connected by government investigators to the late mobster Meyer Lansky. A source tells MSNBC that Jackson hosted a party for Malnick and stays at the guy's house from time to time.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Do that dance. Do that Billie Jean dance for me.
Shamon. I'm really afraid of you, gangster man.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Mr. Gangster.
You're a made man.
You gonna make me?
Hey, your nose is falling off.
I want to be made.
Oh,
please, make me.
I'll make you. You come here, you little son of a bitch, Joker-looking piece of crap. Did you sleep with my boy,
no,
little Tony?
No, ow, no, don't squeeze. You're hurting me.
I'm barely touching you.
You're hurting me.
I'm a mobster, and you're a rap star, star.
I'm very fragile. Shimon. Oh, let go of my wrist. Help Mr. Peck.
Mr. Peck, he's dead.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Why do you smell like baby wipes?
Because I cover myself with baby wipes. They make me feel good. It makes me giggle. Giggle, gangster man.
Jackson's publicist laughs off the story, which is Jacko's publicist, who must have to do a lot. He says Jackson knows Malnick socially, not in a business sense. Malnick has no comment.
Malnick? I have no comment.
A half dozen women have come forward less than a week before the election in California to say they were groped by the front runner.
Buzz, we got to stop there.
That's a good tease, though.
Want to give this full time attention?
Yeah. Good tease.
All of the Arnold stuff coming out now with just days to go.
Yep, and a statement from Arnold.
Hey, you, are you going to vote for me?
And which candidate are you?
I'm the front runner. May I grab your breath?
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're more soothing than a pair of buttery soft moccasins. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, the richest to Don and Mike.
Thanks, Keith. Mike, I know you won't mind reading this slug before we get back to Buzz with the news. Pop culture will be at Fast Eddie's in Alexandria, Virginia, Friday from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
You're not going to believe this.
They have a great new female singer.
Huh?
John Pop will be doing a lot of singing.
He's good.
From Motown.
Incredible.
To R&B to today's greatest hits. You must see the fabulous band Pop Culture.
Yeah. There you go.
We love them.
We do.
Don will be there. $1 million the first person that sees Don.
No, that's $5 million that Johnny's been.
Oh, okay.
$5
million. Wow.
Now here's Buzz with more on Arnold and women's teeth.
Yeah. A half dozen women have come forward less than a week before the election to say they were groped by Arnold. Six women tell the L.A. Times they were touched in a sexual manner by him without their consent. Three of the women say he grabbed their breasts hard. A fourth says he reached under her skirt and grabbed her buttocks. A fifth woman says he tried to remove her bathing suit in a hotel elevator while he was groping her.
Ass play.
The sixth says he pulled her onto his lap and asked if a certain sexual act had ever been performed
on her. It just
doesn't
get any better than this.
Quoting one of the women, did he rape me? No. Did he humiliate me? You bet he did. One of the alleged incidents was as recently as 3 years ago.
I'm very sorry. When I see the thing is, the ladies that are good-looking with big breasts, I like to squeeze, and because of the work that I've been doing into gym, that I squeeze hard, and it hurts the breasts, and for that, I accept full responsibility. I was on OxyContin.
Gray Davis, governor of California, said,
give me a Hummer.
Yeah, Cray, not Gray. Cray Davis.
Give me a Hummer.
That's what he said.
Cray Davis asked me for a Hummer.
Arnold has issued a statement this evening in which he has apologized for groping the women and says he was only being playful and he didn't mean any harm by it.
I will still be elected. I'm the front runner because they want me, because I'm powerful. And that's why I can still grope. And when I'm governor, I'm going to grope everyone.
Arnold's people say this is the work of Democrats, quote, using this to try to hurt Arnold.
Give me a Hummer. I never grabbed the vagina, though. Just the buttocks.
But the newspaper says it did not learn of these women through any of Arnold's political rivals. It says its reporters found the women on movie sets where Arnold has worked. On a related note, there is apparently no truth to the internet rumor that Arnold had a first wife back in Austria.
Yes, Eva.
That story is being attributed to the author of a hard-hitting controversial profile of Arnold, but that author says he's never even heard of this. Quoting him, someone's imagination has gone wild.
I wish to grope Cruz Bustamante.
He's got man teeth.
Oh, my God.
It's good to be Arnold. It's very good to be Arnold's feet. The man who says California politicians spend too much money pays $5,000 a pair for shoes. This according to a VH1 special that aired last night called The Fabulous Life of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I have a fabulous life. I can buy the shoes that people can't afford because I've got all this money.
Hey, did you see the Leah Remini special on VH1?
It sucked.
The show says...
Excuse me, Lisa Remedy.
That's right.
Aye.
The show says Arnold pays the $5,000 whenever he needs a new pair of Pascali loafers.
I need my Pascali loafers because they are very good on my muscular feet.
It says he also gets expensive pedicures with a lotion that has to be flown in from the Philippines.
They fly it in and then I grope them and they bring it to me.
His suits cost $3,000 a piece and he pays his hairstylist $5,500 per haircut, and that does not include the $400 each time for new sets of scissors.
Are you surprised?
So
look at my hair.
If you're going through, he pays the most money for a haircut, almost
right.
$6,000.
Right.
He pays $5,000 for his shoes.
The shoes. That's right.
He pays $3,000 for his suit.
That's right.
But I pay my dentist $25. Yeah. I'm Arnold. Elect me. Dankeschön.
What?
Dankeschön. 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 You're making my brain hurt.
What kind of doofus lets a woman like Halle Berry slip through his fingers?
Sorry, I had it right between the Joe button and the Rob button.
No, that would be the R&B singer who's been her husband for the past nearly 3 years. Halle announced yesterday she's separated from Eric Benet. Quoting her, Eric and I have had marital problems for some time now and have tried to work
things
out together.
Don, I know you've been wondering. I know you've been wondering. Well, I think it's too early to make the announcement, but she didn't just leave him.
That's funny.
At this point, she says, I feel
that's funny.
Time apart.
Yeah, Sally and I have had a romance for a number of years.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This has been a one-way romance. It's been you looking at her on a video screen.
But unlike you, I look at the still pictures, too. When we consummated.
This was Berry's second marriage. She divorced Cleveland outfielder David Justice in 1996.
Hey, and if you ever do get her, she can say, make me feel good.
Make me feel good.
Like a monster.
Make me feel good.
Make me feel good.
Billy Bob.
In sports, the Washington Redskins can keep the name for now. A federal judge has overturned a ruling revoking the team's trademark. He says there wasn't enough evidence that the name disparages Native American Indians. But the judge says this does not mean that the name is not offensive to Indians. This leaves open the door for future lawsuits. A federal law, the Lanham Act, prohibits the registration of disparaging names.
But
the team registered the name before the law went into effect.
The Redskins are Caucasian. At quarterback, Patrick Ramsey. My hemorrhoids are why I took 4,000 OxyContins.
And finally, from Rush to Redskins, and then there's this. In the Dallas area, a high school band leader has apologized for a halftime show that included Deutschland über alles, otherwise known as Hitler's theme.
Oh, God.
The show included a student running across the field with a Nazi flag.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Rob Spiewak High School.
Jesus.
The director says the show was to have included the flags of all the nations involved in World War II. But the show nearly caused a riot. Quoting the director, we were booed. We had things thrown at us. We were cursed. Even the coaching staff was attacked. Quoting the band leader, today's quote from the band leader, we had an error in judgment.
God.
Egon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I have a gift for you.
The Alcues write a book.
Did they make you break rocks in prison?
No, Egon. But I did something much harder than that, thank you. I wrote a book.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Don't blame us. No! Blame CBS.
No!
They made this fantastic TV movie.
Oh, God.
All right, that's it. We gotta go. We'll try harder tomorrow. See you with the brand new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
And to you.
Go team!
PM.
Peter Funk.
We meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.